tonight, new Pokemon come to Pokemon Go, so you've got to catch them all, just like one YouTuber caught a Nintendo Switch this week. But you know there's more to that story, coming up on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode number 676 for this February the 19th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts, coming to you live out of our little studio N7 here in Sacramento, California, with my co-host, not here tonight, Dark Sakura. Jamie Summers is out for the night. She had a pretty nasty cough or something, and she was a little worried about doing radio for 3 hours when she had the plague over in the corner. So hopefully she's feeling better, taking the opportunity to rest up or what have you. And by saying rest up, with my quotey fingers, what I really mean is she's replaying the entire Mass Effect trilogy in anticipation for Andromeda, which I don't blame her. I may or may not have made that up, but let's be real, it's true. But who is joining us tonight? Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
Fine. Looking for my USB cord that I thought I brought, but apparently I didn't.
USB cord? What's that for?
Charging my phone.
You have this iPhone, right? Android?
Android.
I can steal Alan's thing in the bedroom if you need. Okay. All right,
I'll
cool.
I'll just turn off all the...
Please. This is a nerd household. We have chargers, Loki, if you are
I specifically remember taking the charger off because I had my controller plugging, DualShock 4 charging, and I took it out and I rolled it up, and then that's the last I remember of what I did with it. I thought I put it in my bag, but it's not there. Never lost one of those...
I think our mini USB, I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if it's the one that I sent to my buddy Brad from Pod Culture when he bought the PlayStation 4, because I want to make sure he had one. I don't know if that was the one, but then it's like, well, my PS4 Pro should have had one, right? And I can't find it. And I don't know if I maybe used it to charge a Vita somewhere or what it is, but like I'm missing one of those controller cords. So I ended up we have like a cell phone charger that I use on my PlayStation 4 to charge the controller. I have two controllers now, thanks to a very lovely Christmas gift. So when one dies, I just, get the other one on and save the day. I can go right back to Overwatch. That works. Hey, not just us here in studio, but you guys, of course, always joining us live every week, because we do tape live at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. That's vognetwork.com. And of course, there's lots of comments in our chat, including, come on, Noel Gus, who's starting us off tonight, saying, OMG, how many Gen 2 Pokemon has Sky caught already? I'm going to say at least 20. I don't think it's that high. I know we're going to get into the whole Gen 2 Pokemon thing a little bit later, so I don't mean to ruin it, but I know it's been on a lot of his minds. And the thing is, I wanted to go out and catch as much as I could because it's been raining like crap here. And I think you guys have seen the news, the rain in California. Now, a lot of what happened right at the end of the week affected Southern California more. We're not there. We're in Northern California. You might remember we started off last week's show. We talked about what was happening IRL, and that was the whole Oroville Dam thing, which I know made national news. That's, you know, we're far enough away from all that, but that's still, I've been to Oroville several times. I used to live up there. So, I mean, not in Oroville. I lived in Chico, which isn't far. It's where all the people were evacuating to. But anyway, the weather's been on everybody's minds up here, and now we've got, like, another big storm coming in. So my point is, it's great that they released all these Pokemon, but it's been fucking raining every single day. I can't go out and enjoy it. But it wasn't – there was a little bit yesterday. It wasn't really raining yesterday. It was actually a lovely day, so I was able to go out and do some catching. So while I was talking there to buy time, I actually was bringing up my Pokédex because I wanted to see what it was currently at. So I'm at caught 160, seen 171. And I think I was at 142 before Gen 2 launched in caught, so that means I would have 18 of them. And that sounds about right. I think I have about 18 of the new Pokémon. A few from evolving and so forth. I got one of those King Stones or whatever that lets you do a Slow King, which apparently are really rare from Pokestops.
Where do you get those from?
Pokestops. They randomly show up when you hack Pokestops. But, you know, with the Pogo Plus, sometimes if I'm running low on Pokeballs, I'll drive through downtown on my way home so I can just buzz, buzz, buzz. I can be safe and drive and not actually play. All I have to do is push a button, which is very, very easy to do. So that's how. On one of my trips through downtown is when I got that King Stone right after Gen 2 launched. I was able to do that. So that was nice. Anyway, Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf, our pal in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, says, we were pissed when Pokemon Go came out, that it came out when it was 100 degrees outside. Now we're upset about a little water. Make up your mind, gamers. We're gamers. We complain about everything. Remember, Bobby? What's the website, Bobby? Come on. GamersHateEverything.com. That is the truth. Remember, Bobby? You built that site. You should know that. Let's see. What else here? Maya in chat says, it snowed all of twice this winter here in Chicago. Yeah, that's so weird that, like, California is getting drought-ending precipitation. Like, they said it would not take – we would not be able to fix the drought with a year of rain. Well, guess what? Now they're saying – at least for Northern California, they're saying no more drought in Northern California. Southern California is a different story. So it's just kind of, you know, – I think the funniest tweet I saw all throughout this was something like, we have prayed for 5 years for this drought to end. Maybe we should have spaced that out a little bit and not prayed all at once. Something like that. Sorry. It's funnier if you read it on Twitter. Anyway, ActDev says, use your Go Plus and take an umbrella. Yeah, I know. I saw, if it's light rain, I'll wear my hoodie and try to like walk short distances and do it that way. Or I could just be a fool and play it in the car. I don't know. Anyway. We'll read more of your comments throughout tonight's show over at live.vognetwork.com. But I want to get into tonight's kickoff topic. Actually, I have two things. First, I want to do a follow-up real quick because we talked a lot about E3 and the fact that E3 was opening up to the public last week. And we sat here on the show and said, oh, it'll be gone in 10 minutes. Like, if you're not there the minute it opens, you're not getting a ticket. Well, turns out that didn't seem to be the case. Now, I do know a few people that did get an E3 ticket, and even though I talked about my personal reasons why I am not interested in going, I'm still really happy for my friends who have either not been in a long time or have never been, who are going to get to go. And you know what? I hope all my cynicism about E3, I hope it's proved wrong. I hope they do whatever they need to do to make it, you know, the party that people are hoping to sign up and go to. I remain skeptical, but I would love to be wrong about that for the sake of my friends who are going to get to go for the first time. But even though, you know, I know a few people that bought tickets and are going, it doesn't seem like it sold out that fast. In fact, I'm not sure, I don't see it on E3's Twitter that they ever sold out. Did they not sell 15,000 tickets to E3? Because in my opinion, especially compared to PAX, that's really surprising.
But the tickets are probably much more than PAX, obviously.
Not by much. What is it, $249 for E3, Loki? E3. This was be the show when we, especially when we were like in high school and stuff.
It used to be the show.
Do you think some of this negative chatter, I mean, from, I'm sure we're not the only podcast kind of sitting out there going, well, E3 isn't what it used to be. I think even I caught some of that cynicism in some pretty major websites that were running pieces on it in talking about the show opening up to everybody, is that people were kind of saying like, well, people might get a ticket, but it's not going to be what they expect. Do you think some of that cynicism caused this to happen? Or what do you think? Do you think it's, or I mean, and to be fair, is it just as simple as the con is a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which is kind of a really bad time for, you know, 20-somethings to...
I think it's a lot of things. I think
get up and go to L.A.
It's, you don't really do that anymore to, like, find out what stuff, you know, is coming out. You know, nowadays, they stream everything. Before, it used to be, oh, we'd stream, like, the big three, and that's it. But everything's being streamed now. It's all presentations. And if you want to just see the titles, you don't actually want to get hands-on with them, which... To be honest, you're not necessarily guaranteed to get hands-on with anything when you go there. Then you can just stay at home and do all that. You don't need to force your way down there and spend 3 days. And honestly, a lot of times when I'd spend 3 days down there, I would come out with less information than had I just, you know, absorbed it all through streaming.
Now, William Murderface in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I'm pretty sure you can't buy general expo passes anymore. So maybe they did disappear, and I somehow missed the memo on this. However, I think it's safe to say it certainly didn't sell out as fast as a PAX does, and I still think that's...
Which is probably why they didn't talk about it.
I think that's a point that merits discussion still a little bit, is that, you know, the holiest of holy gaming shows did not sell at the rate that many of us anticipated it to.
And also, I think this time, at least compared to some of the other times when they had Kensha Hall, there's less to see, I think. Mm-hmm. It's more of just like, are you going to see everything in a couple days?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it this week, and I know at one of the last E3s I did go to, they had a pretty good chunk of the floor where they actually had, like, old arcade games that you could play. They had, like, a video game museum type thing set up.
That's cool, but I'm not paying $250 to go play old arcade games.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying with that is that we've seen a little bit of a shift where things like that are showing up at E3, so maybe there's just going to be more of that this year. I mean, I do feel like there's a lot of space still on the first floor that they, at least, again, I can only reference a show I went to a few years ago, but I remember they used to have an art show in the middle between the two concourses. Seems like you could cram a lot more in there. I mean, no disrespect to art, but you could, it was not a lot of art filling up a very big space. Like, they could put the art in a smaller space and have more gaming type stuff in there. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things they could do. I still think there's a lot of space on that first floor they could kind of fill out a little bit. And maybe they're still going to do stuff out in the parking lots and all this stuff, or maybe even the next door thing. We haven't really heard if any of that's going to get utilized.
Sweet multiplayer going on with Switch games by that time.
Switch or who knows, Microsoft, you know, we'll get into it later in the show, but it's no secret that they've got a new system for the holidays that they're going to be pimping. Maybe Microsoft wants to show off some of the sweet 4K visuals or whatever else they're going to end up pimping with this system. So, you know, I'm just interested to see how E3 is going to transform with all this. We'll see. Going to some other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, E3 also doesn't offer many of the same things that PAX does. Dealers, tables, cosplay events, game rooms, etc. That can be a draw for some people. Well, they do have an official E3 store. I got an E3 shot glass for Alan 1 year. or the Disney term, a toothpick holder. Did you know you can get a shot glass at Disneyland, but they call it a toothpick holder. They won't call it a shot glass because Disney. Fun fact. Let's see. Maya in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, E3's trying to remain revenue positive in the face of many big names abandoning the show floor. 15,000 paying attendees will help. Yeah, we did talk about that a little bit. You know, 250 a pop is no small, you know, that's going to be what, like $4 million? That's probably what a couple of these companies were paying to be out on the show floor. So, I mean, it's a creative way to make money, I suppose, but at what cost to the show itself? Or maybe what benefit? We won't know until E3 happens this year, and we get some more details on what exactly those 15,000 people are going to get to experience. So we'll see. Anyway, just a little bit of follow-up. I wanted to make sure we properly followed up with, because believe it or not, when we do miss the mark on something, I'm willing to talk about it. I mean, all we can do here sometimes is speculate and be a little bit of armchair predictors, and sometimes we get it right. In fact, more than I think we get credit for, we get it right. But sometimes we're going to get it wrong, and I think it's good to sit down and talk about, well, why did we get it wrong? You know, and we learn from it. Anyway. Let's talk about something a little more positive, actually, because you know, there's a lot of negativity out there in gaming and the community and so forth, and I know we have some rough stuff we're going to get into with the Switch tonight, and you know, I know people get don't want us to be Debbie Downers 100% of the time, so I want to focus a little bit, especially since this week is was Valentine's Day. Or Singles Awareness Day, as the case may be. Whatever it was you were celebrating on the 14th, I hope you had a fantastic time. If that was eating a nice dinner with a loved one or eating discount chocolate by yourself, I hope you had a fantastic time. But since Valentine's Day is a, using my quotey fingers again, holiday about love, I thought we could talk a little bit about, without getting too cheesy, I thought we could talk about video game moments that you love. And why, you know, what are the things that happened in video games? What are those moments that you really fell in love with in games that make you a gamer today? And I open this up to our chatters. I really, really would love to hear some of your comments over at live.vognetwork.com. Or if you are not engaged in chat, but you want to send a tweet real quick, at OLR, I do have my phone up, and I can read some of those tweets as well. A video game moment that you loved, that, like, after it was done, you were like, okay, I'm a gamer. Like, this is why I'm a gamer. This is why I put up with all the cynical bullshit online, and this is why I dredge through gamershateeverything.com and all this stuff, and I am still a gamer at the end of the day. This is why I'm a gamer. So, Loki, we need to hear from you. What are video game moments? And it doesn't have to be like a classic story. It could be something recent. Old, new, what's a video game moment you loved?
Well, let's see. Just thinking off the top of my head here, because there's a lot of moments that I loved in video games. Some of them, like Bobby had mentioned, some of the story beats in Saints Row 4. Nothing really in Saints Row 4. But like Saints Row 3, though.
I would say the introduction to Saints Row 3 really does qualify awesome. As like a video game moment that I love. Yeah. I do. It's just because it's so excessive and ridiculous. And
it's like fantastic.
Over the yes, right? Especially and Loki, you love that shit even more than I do. Like the over the topness in video games. Like I don't know how else you can justify your fandom of Earth Defense Force.
I'm kidding. You know, I'm teasing, it's hard nowadays because like I didn't talk about it last week with Earth Defense Force 5 was announced.
Yeah.
How many Earth Defense Force games do we have to have come out where they just like, oh my god, these are brand new aliens coming? It's like, my god, you get fucking attacked
positivity.
By ants all
Loki,
the time.
Positivity, positivity.
But no, it's definitely, you know, I'd say the intro to Saints Row 3 and then also the part where you're taking over the penthouse where it's set to set to power. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was pretty awesome. So yeah. Actually, this is a hell, just a bunch of stuff from Saints Row is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of moments there. And then, let's see what else. Kind of not in so much cheesy, but like the beginning to Bioshock. Well, beginning of Bioshock 1, you know, when you're going down, and then the beginning of Bioshock Infinite, or just like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. I remember the intro to Bioshock Infinite, and those were even games I didn't like super get into as much as everybody else, but that intro to Bioshock Infinite is something else, especially.
That's just like, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really makes a good argument for, like, you know, games as art type thing. It's just really impactful, I think.
And Bioshock's ending. I mean, that whole series, I think, is a big heart for a lot of people. I would say, you know, with this show, shit, I mean, we were born our show out of the DDR scene. And there's a lot of stuff in the old school music game days that I really loved. Like, I really loved that community that we had back in the day, you know, that we would meet at the arcade and play this loud, obnoxious video game. But there was just something so cool about it because it was just, I don't know, it was just different. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't your typical video game. It was something where you're using your feet as a controller, and it was playing really bad techno music. But it was okay to like this techno music because, you know, it was fun, and you were having exercise. And I was never thinner in my life than those years I was playing DDR. I mean, That was a moment that I really loved in gaming, was just, you know, back. And that's why if I'm a little bitter Betty towards Konami sometimes, it's because, you know, not just the recent stuff that's going on, but the fact that I felt that those games were really abandoned after DDR Extreme, that for some reason they really just turned their back on it. And I think all these years later, I have more insight to it.
Or just hearing some of the tracks in, like, DJ Hero were just like,
oh, yeah,
because you know, it's all unique stuff. And it was very cool to hear some of that stuff mashed up and actually get to build that as you're kind of playing. It was pretty awesome.
But I wanted to say a follow-up on the DDR thing real quick. That's why I thought it was cool. Like, you know, we got to talk about DDR again a little bit last week with the, you know, the representative from the United States winning the national tournament, or the international tournament, excuse me. That was kind of cool to talk about, even though I feel bad where it's like, you know, I don't follow this series like I used to anymore. So some of this admittedly goes over my head, even though, hey, I still have to go to round one and my damn near 40-year-old ass will still get up on a DDR machine, and I don't give a fuck if anybody thinks, like, oh, old guy on DDR, because you know what? I was playing this game before you kids could even walk. But I thought it was cool that it was like DDR was kind of like back out there, and so if that makes a new generation discover and Konami's found a way to strike gold again with it, then I think that's awesome. So, I mean, that will certainly be a series that's always going to be near and dear to me. MMOs. Let's think about MMOs a little bit. And moments I really loved in MMOs. You know, I could talk about World of Warcraft and raiding and all that, but really, like, I think the first, like, oh my god, I love this moment would really date back to Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah, Final Fantasy XI.
We were all playing that together.
See, that was one of those games, like, the sense of scale of it was pretty awesome, because you know, when you first start off the game, you know, I start off in, was it Ronfro or whatever, and just like that first area seems so huge, and then it's like, oh yeah, there's places beyond this. Like, you can go way beyond this, and it's just that sense of scale is like, oh my god, no, this is ridiculous. I don't know how I'm gonna handle being able to go out there and get killed immediately. And
yeah, or the fact that you team up. I think for me, it was like teaming up with people and like actually taking on quests together. And like one of the things that jumps out in my mind, like I know there was like the early questing in the Valkyrim Dunes when you're getting XP and all that stuff, but I'm thinking of like when we all teamed up to do like Promivian, or something like that in one of the expansions where it's like you had to really work as a group and to get through some of this stuff. You know, it's kind of like it was like a raid of sorts back in the day for that game. And I thought that was a moment that, like, for me, it was like, wow, this is – I don't get a moment like this in gaming really otherwise. This is a new experience with MMOs, and I'm really thankful for it. So there's that.
Let's see what else. Trying the Oculus Rift for the first time and doing that Surge demo, you know, especially where you get, you know, for those who haven't played it, there's a part in it where there's these giant like things walking by, and that just kind of like, whoa, this is fucking cool. And actually, even with the PlayStation VR with Rush of Blood, I mean, that's just. That's such an awesome game, and the fact that, you know, it's come so far. And even watching, like, one of the things I was doing this week, because, you know, as I mentioned, I'm doing stuff in work. It kind of relates to gaming. Of course, can't really go into details on that. But I've been introducing a lot of people to VR and watching them play some of this stuff for the first time and just kind of, like, get that moment that I had where they can kind of look around like, holy shit, this is ridiculous. Like, I didn't realize this was a thing. I've heard about it, but to actually experience, it's like, oh my God, this is actually going to be the next big thing. It's just, that's, I love that.
Going to some comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to read all of these, but some things that are jumping out at me. VidPower in chat says, the moment I realized I'm a gamer, 100% Super Mario World. Oh my God, the first time, Christmas Day, hooking up the Super Nintendo and getting to play Super Mario World for the first time. And it's like, I mean, the NES was another, I mean, playing Super Mario Brothers, the very first one, but like playing the Super Nintendo where it was like with Mode 7 and shit, where it was like the graphics were so next level, you know, again, for that time.
Or Super Mario 64.
Oh my God. See, I didn't really go through that because I didn't get on the Nintendo 64 bandwagon until way later. That was kind of, there was a period, because I was around college, and when I went off to college, I wasn't as into video games for a little bit, so I kind of missed the boat with Nintendo 64, but still, I mean, yeah, I mean, I can imagine, you know, playing all that for the first time, but oh my God, Super Mario World was just like, blew my fucking mind with all the Mode 7 and all that. Let's see, SG100 Matt says, regarding the over-the-top comedy, I fell in love with the South Park Stick of Truth for the over-the-top comedy. Yes, that's a good one, that's a good one. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says, flying to another planet for the first time in Phantasy Star on the Master System. Maya said, I just finished my first playthrough of the Mass Effect trilogy, and I loved how personally I took some of the choices my Shepard made. Games can really take you places sometimes. I mean, absolutely. I know Loki doesn't understand this the way that Dark Soccer and I do, but especially with the extended cut, you know, because I went back and I did the original ending and it was fine. And, you know, we've talked about it on the show and I'm not going to. But like, I thought the ending hysteria was way overdone and that people really blew that out of proportion. However, I am very thankful for the extended cut because I like that even more. And like, I think one of the most recent moments in gaming that really made me love gaming was the synthesis ending in Mass Effect Extended Cut. I realize that's a controversial ending, and I realize the reasons for it, but despite however you feel about the synthesis ending and what it means, I think the way it was done was so well done. And Battlestar Galactica, played 6, Trisha Helfer does such a good job narrating that. That's one of my favorite voice acting performances in video games, like at all. Speaking of voice acting, one of the biggest moments that I ever loved, the first time I played a CD-ROM game, King's Quest 5, I think, I can't remember if it was 5 or 6, I think it was 5, was on CD-ROM, and like actually hearing the voice acting as I'm playing a Sierra game. Because let me tell you, a game like King's Quest 4 was epic enough, but to play King's Quest 5 with the narration and the voice acting just poof, mind exploded. That was just unheard of. Games on CD? Let's see. Akuma JP says, mine is mostly when game companies set a new bar in game technology, mostly from Square Enix. Yeah, you want to talk Square Enix? How about the opera scene in Final Fantasy VI?
That's pretty awesome.
That's going to resonate with me. I mean, like that was, oh my God, like I didn't know a game did this. Like that was just unheard of for games at the time. I mean, the ending for Final Fantasy IV was so good enough, but then that happened in Final Fantasy III, and it was like you weren't prepared for it.
My other one was, I remember it was our senior trip in high school, or maybe it was high school, junior high or high school. I think it was high school that we went to Great America. And I don't like roller coasters, so that's fine. But I went to the arcades there, and one of the games that they had there that you could pay like $5 to play was Galaxian 3, you know, where you go inside. It's an arcade in a room, and it's just this giant screen that you're, you know, working together to shoot something. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, the whole working together for things like they do. I can't, somebody in chat will know, but the game they have all the conventions where you're doing like the Star Trek thing where everybody has their own different role that they're playing.
Bridge Crew now?
Is that it? Bridge Crew?
That's a new one.
Bridge Commander? Something like that? Yeah. Somebody in chat's got to know what it is. Artemis. Thank you. I knew the chatters. There was like 5,000 people on a row. Artemis. That's the one. Yeah. Like that is, I haven't done that yet, so I can't say, oh, that's a gaming moment I love. But I think that's really cool. In a way, something like that, I think, fuses the best of a Dungeons & Dragons-esque RPG with video games. And that's why I think something like Artemis and the those types of games are really cool, is because I think it's really taking a lot from a gaming in a pre-video game era and how you work together in those games.
God, that would be awesome. Do they have anything like this? Like, you know, where you're playing a game, almost it could be like Diablo or something like that, where you have a DM running the game kind of outside the game. Like, you're all playing co-op in the game, and there's someone DMing the game that's basically doing stuff.
So Neverwinter Nights.
Is that Neverwinter Nights? I don't know. I've never played Neverwinter Nights.
Kind of. The chat over at live.vognetwork.com. I'm loving these responses. I got to read a few more here. Let's see. Clever username here says The Last of Us starting the generator in the basement. So scary. Yes, man.
The BattleTech pods. That is awesome.
Yeah, the
yes.
chatter's talking about that. Yeah. Maya says the ending of Persona 3 stunned me in my chair for a solid 10 minutes. That was an incredible moment. VidPower says my favorite old MMO game was playing Phantasy Star Online. Holy shit, yes. Phantasy Star Online. Like, I can't believe I didn't think of that when I was thinking of MMOs, talking about the Final Fantasy XI thing. But absolutely, Phantasy Star Online. That was crazy how, like, your Dreamcast, using the modem, would call in to the Sega BBS. No, I wasn't that. But so it was, like, through America Online Connection or whatever, you were playing. I don't even remember how it was done. Did you just have to... Oh, you just had to call a basic internet provider, right? You just had your internet that you called in on the Dreamcast, and then you could play that online. It's crazy. I remember back in the day when you did call a BBS to play, like, Doom 2. That's how you would play it. Oh, man. Then they wanted to charge for every minute that you played. Let's see. Just a few more from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bob Coffee says, Street Fighter 2 was the game that pretty much set me as a gamer in stone, though. Good choice. I mean, Street Fighter 2, that was the arcade scene for, like, the longest time, right? I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a big fighting game aficionado, but shit, even I had my years on Street Fighter 2. Like, I distinctly remember one night I was randomly in Southern California. I was on this bus trip with other kids my age. It's a long story. But we were at this, I don't remember if it was a store or what. I feel like it was a laundromat for some reason. We were there and they had a Street Fighter 2, and there were these guys that were on the machine for like a long time. And I went up and I went to play and I played as Chun-Li, and they laughed because I picked Chun-Li because, you know, gamers can be jerks sometimes. But I kicked their asses. You better believe it. I whooped them with Chun-Li over and over and over again. Like, I won a ton of matches in a row. Finally, I walked away and I felt really good. And I wish I could be that good at video games again. But I'm not. Act Deft brings up as fighting games as well. Playing Smash Brothers with friends. It's awesome. Let's see. Trying to get a couple more comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SG100 Matt brings up escape rooms, which I think is also kind of like the whole like D&D and gaming hybrid there. And let's see. Black Wolf in chat says there was a Vampire the Masquerade game that had the DM mode. Redemption, I think. So. And Dark Tetsuya says he has a similar experience. My first time on Super Street Fighter 2, I picked Cammy and just destroyed everyone. Cammy was awesome. Super Street Fighter 2 was like, whoa, they redid the graphics. It looks even better. And now you got all these new people. Ah, blows my mind. Anyway, that was good. That was good walk down memory lane. And some of those reasons why, despite all this other blat that goes on in gaming sometimes, we kind of stick with it because it's just these moments, these key moments that really affect us, that really make us gamers. So thanks. Thanks for walking down memory lane with us. Although SS-100 Matt does bring up, nobody said Quasar. Yeah, Loki. He didn't say Quasar wasn't a video game.
Well, I didn't really consider that like a game. I mean, it's not a video
game. Quasar did have an arcade.
It did have an arcade. You played lots of arcade games. No, I definitely consider Quasar. I thought of it, but it's not really video games.
It's not a video game, but it's certainly.
I mean, it sort of is. It's, you know, it's a computer game, I guess.
It's an extension, a little bit. Yeah. All right. Let's move into a little more recently. Maybe not games you love necessarily, but games you still played this week. How was your gaming week, Loki? Start us off. What kind of video games did you play this week?
So I played mainly Skyrim still. I mean, I'm still just plugging away at that. I did, because I didn't really play the expansions too much when it first came out, so I played some of the, well, it's, I don't really know if you can actually do anything or quests in this, but it's the was it called Hearthstone? I don't remember what it was called. Basically, the house building thing in Skyrim. So I built a house because I wanted to have a kind of a location that I could do all my enchanting stuff and all that. So I have that, and then I did more quests in there and just kind of playing through it some more because I'm not cheating. Well, I'm cheating but not cheating. I'm exploiting glitches in the game that are in the vanilla game without using mods. And I'm having more fun with it than I did with mods because mods were just too crazy and it didn't work. Well, what I put in there didn't quite work right. And I don't know. It just wasn't as fun. So I did that. And then what else? I played actually quite a bit of PlayStation VR this week because I've been demoing stuff, like I said. So I got to try a little bit more Job Simulator just for a sec. Did Rush of Blood. And still really enjoy that game. I played Pokemon Go for a little bit because I was doing some of the Gen 2 stuff. And I'm a little over it now, but, you know, I just caught what I could that's in the area. Of course, now it's like 14 different things that are still around, and then that's it. It's like, okay, well, crap. Yeah, there's not really much more. Very little Ingress. I played a few minutes of it. Probably. And then what else? Yeah, that was pretty much it, honestly. I didn't really get to play a whole ton.
My gaming week. I did some more live streaming this week. Cheap plug for my Twitch channel over at Rob Roberts on Twitch. But I actually did some Final Fantasy 14. I played some Overwatch, and I got to say, Alan and I did some Overwatch where he was playing with me, and you can see him on the Twitch stream. But we had some really good matches in Overwatch. Like, we had a match. I ended up highlighting it and putting it on YouTube. I loved the match so much. It was one of those things where the enemy had the thing at 99%. And we ended up in like an overtime that went on for minutes. And finally, we took the point and we ended up winning that particular match. And it was quite the turnaround. And that was in Mystery Heroes. So I think I had May or somebody I don't usually play. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I had some really good moments in Overwatch this week. And then some bad moments too, because today I was playing with friends and we were not winning anything. But Mystery Heroes can be such a crapshoot. It's like if you just get the wrong comp, like, you're not getting any tanks or any healers in what's coming. Like, it can just be a disaster. So, you know, Mystery Heroes is a crapshoot in that regard. But it's still fun to play with friends, and that's the important thing, am I right? So, been playing those games a bit. Let's see. Continuing on just with some of the other standbys as well. But one of the games I did play this week that I was randomly getting into, I suppose. Do you remember how last week I talked about that I was randomly playing Oblivion? Because yeah. It was on the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility.
So wish they'd remaster that, because that'd be awesome.
Well, you need to check out what Alan does with the mods.
Well, yeah, I know. Unreal. I can do that on my PC. And I have Oblivion on my PC. I don't know if I have.
He spent like 3 days setting up mods in Oblivion. And now I watch him and I'm like, it doesn't even look like the same game. Like, I know it's Oblivion.
Yeah, I just
but
don't.
It looks even better. Like, it's gorgeous. Like, my God.
Like, I don't have a laptop that supports it. It's funny. I was actually working on my coworker's laptop yesterday or the other day, and he has like a new MSI laptop that's like an i7 with a GTX 980 inside there. I'm like, shit, man, I need to get a new laptop. Fuck this Asus shit. I'll just go with an MSI one because those are some nice looking laptops, and then I can do all that cool shit.
Yeah,
it's just right now though, this fucking Radeon fucking AMD. It was my only choice at the time because I want a dedicated GPU, and they're very minimal. You know, price-wise, it was affordable, but fuck, I miss my GeForce.
So I actually did end up playing a little more Oblivion even. I ended up closing the first Rift, which is part of the story and all that stuff, so I played a little further. But then I was like, why am I sitting here playing Oblivion when I still have yet to really play Skyrim? And that, well, I mean, I take that back because I did play Skyrim quite a bit, but I didn't really finish it, and there was still, I didn't do any of the expansion stuff. So there's a lot more I could do in Skyrim. And I went on Amazon just out of the blue, and I checked. I was like, how much they want for Skyrim Special Edition? And I was like, oh, shit. It's on sale for $30. All right. You win. You won this time. So I bought Skyrim Special Edition on Xbox One, and I opted to get the Xbox One version because the mod support is a little better on Xbox One, right? So the first thing I did when I got it, and I got the game yesterday, and I finally went in to check it out, I didn't realize you needed a Bethesda.net account, which you can't sign up in the game. You have to bring up your phone and do it, that, or go on the website. That's what I had to do.
Yeah.
It's a little silly, but whatever. And then I started looking at the mods, and I was like, there's nothing really in here I think I want to install right now. Well, and then the other thing is, it makes very clear that if you install them or if you use the mods, you can't get any achievements.
Right.
And I was like, oh, well, let me play a little bit vanilla to get some achievements. And then maybe I'll look at some of these like graphic improvement mods and some of the other things they're talking about. But I got to say, you know, having not played Skyrim in a long time, but now playing Special Edition for the first time, finally on my big TV that does the 60 frames a second and all that, it does look really good. Like, Skyrim Special Edition does look really, really good. And it makes me excited for what they might do with an Elder Scrolls 6. It's got to happen someday, yeah. Right? It's got to happen. Might not be this year, but next year or something. They got to do an Elder Scrolls 6 at some point, right? So it makes me very excited, like, if Skyrim kind of looks that good.
And how old is it? I mean, it's right. Several years old.
But obviously, they've gone through and they've bumped up a lot of the graphics. But it really, you know, if you haven't seen it yourself yet, it is worth a look. I don't... You know, it depends on what kind of games you're into, if I would recommend you just jump in and buy it or what have you.
I think you should. I mean, honestly, yeah. I've spent... How many times have I replayed through Skyrim? Like, several times, and you never actually finish the game. But I spent hundreds and hundreds of hours in that game. It's definitely worth $30. I mean, come on.
Okay, I gotta respond to this little... I'm detecting a little bit of tone in this comment in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Clever username here in chat says, looking for best mod support, buys console version. Now, hold on a minute. Alan owns it on PC, and we can do the whole Steam library share thing, so there is that. And I do own the original Skyrim on PC, but I didn't get the upgrade that just upgraded it for free to the newer version. If I wanted to do that, I could do it through Alan's account.
Well, you didn't own the DLC on
No, I didn't own all the DLC, and that's why I didn't get the free one. But Alan did do that. But sometimes you just want to plop your ass on the couch, play the game with a controller, and zone in on the big 60-inch TV, which is way bigger than even my dual-screen monitors are. So I think there's some things to be said for the console experience. And I just, I wanted to just play it on console. But I'm not, you know, not saying there isn't a lot of good stuff going on PC. Because obviously, you know, if you want to talk to Alan about how much he's modded Skyrim, it's insane.
And it's also, like, to be honest, you know, having done both, there could be a little bit of setup required with the PC version versus the console. Console's more like you just toggle that shit on. Granted, you can't do as much. But after a while, you just, you know, you get tired of seeing all the bare-breasted and floppy dongs and, like, Thomas the Tank Engine.
Are you sure? Are you sure you can get tired of that? Where's that stuff on Xbox One? I didn't see. They don't have the Macho Man thing when the dragon comes out.
I thought they had that already. I do think they have that.
That would almost be worth giving up achievements for.
And like Battletoads, and like you can play as like all these different followers.
I saw the one that was they did have this on Xbox One. It was like the Temple of Time featuring the Hyrilean sword or something. Like they changed the name just enough so that like we're not completely ripping off The Legend of Zelda, but we totes are. Like even in the graphics and everything. So when I do get into mods, I want to check out the really like terrible ripoff stuff
or,
like that.
Or my favorite on PC was the dubstep spell. The dubstep gun spell. So it was awesome. He's just like he casts that and everybody explodes.
That's Saints Row 4, right?
There's another moment I love. The dubstep gun. I mean, that's awesome. It's so stupid and ridiculous. They're just like any of the guns they have. They're shark gun. I mean, it's just
or the giant
chum gun.
Purple dildo bat. Hello.
Giant purple dildo bat. Yeah, absolutely.
Zeba brings up Charizard dragons. Is that a thing? Of course, it's got to be a thing you can do in Skyrim.
Of course.
Of course. It's on the internet. It's got to be. So you can just change all the dragons to
Charizard.
It's like,
was it the Tommy Wiseau awesome. Horse and stuff that you can get? Or... it's weird.
Oh, hi, horse.
it's weird. It looks... There's some weird shit.
That's amazing. All right. Anyway, I guess it's really it for my gaming week. I played a little Skyrim, and I mentioned all the other stuff. So I'll try to play a little more Skyrim as the week goes on. Anyway, let's get into some gaming news, of which there's a lot this week, because I don't have a lot of announcements or other housekeeping to talk about. Besides, I guess I could always plug our Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. So, you know, follow us on social media. Let's get into news. There's a little bit going on this week, right, Logie?
Yeah, there's been some video of the Nintendo Switch coming out. Well, how's that? Is Nintendo releasing some video? No, they're not. Because allegedly, one leaked out. Allegedly. According to Nintendo, earlier this week, individuals claimed to prematurely purchase a small number of Nintendo Switch systems from an unspecified retailer. Nintendo has determined these units were stolen in an isolated instance by employees of a U.S. distributor, with one system being legally resold. The individuals involved here have been identified, terminated from their place of employment, and are under investigation by local law enforcement authorities on criminal charges, and that the Switch will be launching on March 3rd.
Okay, I've been dying to ask you this question all week. You used to work in video game distribution. You don't anymore. You've changed industries big time.
Yeah.
But what, like, is this, like, could somebody have done this?
No. And the reason no one could have done this is because we don't get it. You wouldn't get them that early. Let's put it this way. In the world of retail and game sales, distributors are in the fucking bottom, aside from independent retailers. They're below them. But seriously, they're not getting that product until as early as possible to street, or as close to street as possible. So, for example, this is coming out March 3rd. Most likely, I think if I'm correct here, March 3rd is probably a Friday. Yes, it's a Friday. So most likely they would be getting that product on the 1st. And the reason for that is because they are fucking paranoid about
this.
They're fucking paranoid of this. And they would never, ever ship that fucking early. Especially Nintendo. They'd be lucky to get any at all. You know, so...
But to be fair, things may have changed since you left the industry. And did you say something about like a GameStop distribution could be different?
It could maybe if you know they're shipping to GameStop, although I wouldn't think, you know, maybe they're shipping to their main distribution center and then it's going out from there.
Yeah.
That could possibly be you know, a situation where they would ship earlier, but
something doesn't add up.
For an independent distributor, there is no fucking way they're getting it that early. No way. There's no reason to do that. They wouldn't ship that early and just have it sit on shelves because they know there's too much temptation to break street. There's all these possible things that can go wrong, which makes me think they did this themselves as some sort of viral marketing.
That's campaign. A hell of a claim, Loki. That's a hell of a claim.
Because I don't buy that this is how that this stuff got out.
But... my thought is, and you know, this is a very complicated story here where, you know, obviously the person who leaked it is not being 100% truthful, and it's kind of got caught on a few things, right? Like, wasn't there like a Reddit post where they were trying to flip it, like sell it or something like that? There's all this kind of like shady stuff going on.
It's very possible that they got it somewhere, but I just don't
think... But a viral thing, Loki? I why can't Nintendo just answer these fucking questions or put out a video themselves? I think something like that would go much more viral than this NeoGAF post, which, yes, went viral, but I think if Nintendo did a direct, way more people would see it. And they could just say, here's what you've been waiting to see, here's what the Switch interface looks like, and here's what's going to look like day one.
I don't know. I find it hard to believe that this was from a distributor, just because, like I said, they don't get product that early. Okay. Ever. I've been
so something through, that it just that part of the story doesn't add up to you, and it kind of just throws.
Just know Nintendo. I've been through two console launches with them. I'm 14 years in the industry. Okay, it's not, And I can tell you from 14, okay, we weren't selling games for 14 years, but for at least 5 years of that, maybe it was more than that, but at least 5 years, never once have we gotten a console that early. Never, ever, from any Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, never happened. Never. There would be no way that they would do that.
Now, my assumption was, when I heard about all this, is that it was a press thing that got into
that
the wrong hands.
That I could believe if it got, like, if someone leaked out their press kit or something, because I know the press have them now.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about, like, video game sites even, because when we say the press, that could even be things like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, you know.
That would be more plausible.
I would think, you're using my word. I think something like that would make a lot of sense, where maybe it was, where it was somebody sweet talking somebody, some sort of employee who didn't know better at one of these journalist place that isn't gaming. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like sweet talking somebody who maybe like they get a Switch, but their main dig isn't really games. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but maybe it was a way that these guys sweet talked it or flat out stole it. Potentially, or whatever you want to
believe
here.
I've seen situations.
Which is why Nintendo would be able to recall it back so easy.
Well, they could track it probably by the serial number if they were showing like the internal screens and stuff like that. They may be able to pull a serial number from that. But I would think that the other one I've seen too is like it was somebody's child that was like putting up the videos or something like that. Not necessarily like a teenager or something. Because like, I remember something happened like that. I want to see with like the Xbox 360 or.
Yeah, or that's even happened with. Okay, remember there was this really controversial case. There was this older actor, and I don't remember the guy's name, but I think he played a lot of like mobster type characters in movies. And he leaked a bunch of Oscar screeners. And that's how, like, Pirate Bay and some of those websites were getting copies of movies that were crystal clear quality while these things were still in theaters. And this guy ended up getting kicked out of the Motion Picture Society or whoever it is that does the voting in the Oscars. This guy was kicked out of it, and he didn't even really – like, this guy was an older guy who probably had no – who probably thought he was loaning these to his kid to watch the movie. Because I think a lot of people that get video screeners loan them to friends to watch, right, Loki?
I'm guilty of that. Yes, absolutely.
So, but you didn't rip them and put them on the internet. So you didn't.
No, that's work. I don't want to do work.
Yeah, you weren't at risk like this other poor guy. You guys remember that? Like, I'm not crazy.
No, I remember
that happened, right? So maybe you've got something like that. I would believe that a heck of a lot more than I do. Nintendo did it for viral marketing.
Okay, well, maybe that's a little stretch, but I find it hard to believe, though, that the source from this was a U.S. distributor, because that would be just, like, unheard of that, oh, hey, all of a sudden we decided that, we do trust you guys, and we're going to go ahead and do this. Fuck that. They don't trust anybody at all, because there's no way to hold them accountable for that stuff. And what are you going to do, take away the 3 units that they're going to get as a whole? I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Kaijudo in chat says that guy was named Al Pacino. No, it was not Al Pacino. It was somebody else. I think it was one of those people like, you know, there's these people in movies. You don't know their names, but you know their face. And you're like, it's that guy. It's like when my good friend Billy and I went to see some movie and he gasped in the middle of it and went, she shot Selena. Because it was the actress who played the crazed fan club member in the Selena movie. Like, there's always that face, right, that you recognize in movies, okay?
Right.
Joe Pesci is another one of these guys, right? Even
though
we know his name.
Joe Pesci would never do that, but yeah.
Yeah.
So aside from that, yeah, they were showing off, with this leak, now that we've kind of gotten past that, there's been YouTube videos that have gone up showing the Switch's menu system, storage specs, the UI, that type of stuff. And apparently the internal storage is 25.9 gigabytes, at least that's what's usable from that. Some other stuff, of course, they're saying that apparently the eShop purchases are going to be tied to an online account on the Switch, which makes me wonder, I thought that was the case with the Wii U and the 3DS. So you're saying that's not the case? So I can't transfer my shit that I've basically been purchasing all digital on the Wii U to the Switch when I eventually get it? Thanks, Nintendo. I appreciate your forward thinking and network design. Yeah. So that's interesting, but I'm very skeptical.
Clever username here in chat says, the menus looked very barren. I'm not sure what I expected to be there, but there wasn't much.
And I don't think they're...
this is not going to be final either, right? There's going to be a day one update. There
probably,
has to
there's
be.
It's going to be a day one patch, probably.
And it could be major. The Wii U's, if I remember right, the Wii U got a major day one patch.
Yeah, I remember that because everyone complained that they had to wait a long time to be able to play anything on it.
Yeah, be ready on Friday, you guys. You might not get into Zelda right away.
Just be ready. Don't connect your system to the network, maybe.
If you want to play that bad. Yeah. I kind of think you should connect and just get the current stuff because it'll guarantee. Because for all we know, Zelda could crash on the other. You know, you should probably update it. But anyway, I don't know. This is complicated because there definitely is a part of me. Like, I certainly don't want to say Nintendo had it coming or Nintendo deserved it or anything like that because the stolen shit is not cool. Like, that's not cool. But I, you know, okay, this was inevitable. It was going to leak once the press kits get out. You know, now that we know the press kits are out, because didn't Kotaku or one of those sites like flat out confirm they have a press kit?
Yeah, I think like one of them did. Or somebody was tweeting. I know that.
So we know the press kits are out. So this information was going to get out eventually in one way or another. Again, I'm not endorsing the stolen shit. That's not cool. But Nintendo could fix a lot of this by answering some very basic questions about what is planned for the launch of the Switch or producing one of these videos themselves or doing a direct that's an unboxing where they can control the conversation. And it really blows my fucking mind that Nintendo hasn't done it yet.
I still 2 weeks away from launch.
I know. Like, here's the reality. I still have my Switch on pre-order. I'm excited to play it. That's not going to change. But what I've told myself is you need to set the bar very low for this system the first day because this is looking more and more what the reality is Nintendo is doing the real launch of this system for the holiday, and this is the soft launch to try to sell some copies to the diehard fans so they can bump up the numbers a little bit this fiscal year, which is fine. But what I mean with that is that I am not going to expect Virtual Console is there day one. I don't think it's going to be there. At this point, they have not answered the questions, and I think they don't want the conversation to be about how Virtual Console is missing. So my assumption is it's not there. And okay, I don't see how we go years and years without there ever being Virtual Console. And if I remember right, Wii U didn't have Virtual Console at first either. They brought that in later with the whole 30th birthday of something, and they sold the balloon fight for 30 cents. That was like the first Virtual Console game, right? I don't think Virtual Console had existed before that. I could be wrong, but even if I'm right or wrong, it doesn't matter. The reality is the Wii U is probably not going to have Virtual Console the first day. That's what I'm preparing myself for. In fact, it's probably not going to have a lot the first day. It may not even have the online play ready to go the first day, because do any of the launch titles need it?
No, I don't think any have online play.
So I'm prepared that there's no online whatsoever the first day. And I
they're probably going to need to figure out something because they've got that stupid beta test for Splatoon. So there's something's got to...
Well, they got a good 3 weeks to figure that out. You know, not that, again, I don't think Nintendo is completely pulling it out their ass. They have a roadmap, but I do think that roadmap works right up till the very last minute.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't be putting the tires on the car while the car is starting to roll, you know what I mean?
Yeah. YYR in chat says, yes, Rob, that was right. Virtual Console on Wii U launched with 30-cent titles once a month for, I think, 8 months. Yep, that's right. Let's see. YYR says, I think folks who pre-ordered Switch are going to be bored by day 7, or they're going to be cheerleaders for the system, one or the other. Now, on the flip side of that, Doomplague says, I will take more than 7 days to finish Zelda for most people. And here's where Nintendo should be thanking BioWare for plopping a Mass Effect game out 3 weeks after the launch of the Switch, because I'll be able to just overlook but at the same time, my Switch probably will not be played while I'm focusing on Mass Effect Andromeda. In my mind, I have like 3 weeks to beat that Zelda game before Andromeda's out.
It would have been ideal if that was a launch title for the Switch. Too bad it can't run it.
But anyway, so my point is, I'm setting the bar very, very, very low for what the Switch is going to be able to do on day one, and I really don't think we're going to be able to accurately judge this system until mid-November. I think when they really go into overdrive to sell systems, it's going to be holiday, and I think holiday will be when they inevitably bundle 1-2 Switch with the system.
Oh, fuck that.
I'm telling you, it's what's going to happen. There will be a holiday bundle, and they'll include 1-2 Switch.
I don't want that
Then sell it back to whatever company.
No, it's garbage. Fuck
you,
that.
But you haven't played it yet in a party situation.
You know what? I can look at a piece of shit on the ground and know what that probably smells like without actually going up to it.
So you're saying you don't get fun when you play Mario Party in a big group or Wii Sports even in a fun group or shit, even Nintendo Land with a group of people was no fun whatsoever.
Dude, have you seen 1-2 Switch?
I have.
Tech demo fucking city here. There is no game.
Let me put it this way. I don't plan on buying it, and I do think it was a mistake for them not to bundle it in, but I'm not going to... I mean, I'm not going to completely trash it when I haven't played it myself yet.
I'll put it this way. Okay, like, the fucking games that they had bundled in with, you know, the VR, PlayStation VR, like, the free Playroom stuff, is more robust than this fucking 1-2 Switch shit. That was free.
All right.
I'm not... $50? I mean, are they fucking out of their minds?
I think some of these launch titles and what they're charging for them are...
You know what it is. It's because it's like... After you get done with Zelda, and let's say that there's like 100 hours worth of gameplay there, okay? So after a month you get done with Zelda or whatever, and Mario Kart's still not out yet, it's like, well, shit, I need to buy some other games for the Switch here. Fine, I'll try 1-2 Switch, I guess, because, you know, it could be fun. It's a party thing. That's how they're selling it. It's because there's nothing else.
Come on, Noel Gus in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says $20 says that Sky buys 1-2 Switch before April. You're on with that bet because that's not going to happen. And when I get the $20, I'll be able to buy it out of a bargain bin during the holiday season.
Ha!
Ta-da!
That's hilarious that you assume that Nintendo's actually drops the price of their games ever, even if they do suck. That's hilarious.
Well, they do like 3 years after the fact. But
no, they don't. They never drop their prices of their games because they're Nintendo and we're quality and we're going to keep those fucking prices up. No.
Well, we're less than 2 weeks away from the launch of the Switch now, and I think the reality is what you saw in this leaked video is all you're going to get until whenever the press embargo is up. Do we know what day the press gets to talk about their hands-on with the Switch? Do we know what day that is?
Nope.
It's not out there. So that could be the day of... Or it could be the day before, or it could be, who knows, up to a week before. But we'll get a lot of chatter, I'm sure, from the press, because they're not going to stay quiet on what they see inside the shell system and all that stuff and what they are and they aren't seeing with whatever press patches Nintendo might be doing. Because Nintendo could still push a patch before the embargo's up, so the press has to play catch-up a little bit. That could still happen. We'll see. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. We got to move on to other stories and, you know, because eventually we want to get your phone calls and see what you think about all this stuff at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. But one of the other titles for the Nintendo Switch, which is Ultra Street Fighter 2, which is kind of, you know, the definitive, I suppose, Street Fighter 2 version that they're doing. We were wondering why in this trailer for Ultra Street Fighter 2 was there suddenly this weird first-person mode where you could see Ryu throwing a fireball all of a sudden. Like, was this just something they put together for the trailer? Was it a cinematic? Was it like a Street Fighter 4 thing? What the hell was it? Well, it turns out that, yeah, this is actually some new mode that's in this game. In an episode of Capcom TV, they showcased this new mode called Way of the Hadou, which looks like, I guess it's supposed to be like one of those like arcade shooter things, like House of the Dead type of things. So you actually are going through on rails and shooting fireballs at things. You fling your little Joy-Con controller to do the fireball, and you uppercut and spin kick the Shadaloo grunts. So it's a silly extra party mode thing.
Are we really doing this now? Is Nintendo forcing waggle on people again?
Do you know what this says to me? Do you know what this screams to me? Do you remember in Star Wars Kinect how they had the dance mode? Because it had to have a dance mode to show off the Kinect. That's what this is kind of screaming.
This system is the fucking Wii U again. Literally, up to the very last title coming out on this thing, it's like, honestly, the second screen thing is—it's worth it. This is important. This is why we put out the console, because it has tilt controls and stuff. They're still fucking trying to convince you why tilt controls are fucking necessary. It's not necessary in Street Fighter. Yeah, it's a neat little extra thing to throw in there, but oh my god, it's completely unnecessary.
Bob Coffee in chat says the Wii U never got Street Fighter though. LOL. Didn't even get Street Fighter 4. No, I guess it didn't, did it? I'm thinking 3DS.
Can't run Street Fighter 4.
No, the 3DS can run Street Fighter 4. Come on. They could do Street Fighter 4 on the Wii U. But, yeah, I guess they didn't really have a version of Street Fighter there. Anyway, this is just one of those, like, okay, cool story, but it's not something that is going to sell me a copy of this game, that's for sure. And what I hope they're not trying to do is justify why they're going to charge $40 for this. Do we know how much they're charging for Old Street Fighter 2? The game that was $20 on Xbox Live not that long ago?
I don't remember.
Because if they're trying to use this to justify $40, nice try. I'll be picking this up out of the bargain bin when I get my $20 reward for that bet from earlier.
Let's see.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Street Fighter 2. And I like what the Switch as a platform can do for that with multiplayer. So, but.
Yeah, the retail version of the game is going to be priced at 49.90 yen, which is around $43. A digital edition is going to launch at 46.20 yen, or $40. It's a $40 game.
So it's a $40 game. No thanks. No, not happening. Yeah, this is. Here's the thing. A lot of you might say that we keep shitting on Nintendo, but the problem is there's just all these like things.
It is
that
a fucking cash grab. That is a fucking cash grab. Don't get me wrong. Street Fighter 2 is fun and all, but are we really selling a $40 Street Fighter 2 game, what, like decades after Street Fighter 2 was a big thing? I mean, shit. I'll tell you what. Just put Street Fighter 2 out in Virtual Oh, that's right. Virtual Console's not going to be there at launch. My mistake. Why would I even think that
You're
would be a thing?
You're such an ass.
But no, seriously, though.
I get it. I get it. It's one of those things where, you know, again, I think Ultra Street Fighter 2's biggest perk is what the Switch is as a platform. It's the whole reason why, you know, despite this negative talk right now, there are still things I do get excited about with the Switch. And I've said this before on the show, but it's Mario Kart 8, when I'm going to be able to just take my system to the next convention and we all can sit there in a hotel room and we all play Mario Kart 8 on our like little screens like we were playing it at home or whatever. Like, that's going to be badass.
So they're selling you on potential. Okay, well, I hope that's how it actually turns out. I
have no reason to believe it wouldn't, considering this is the whole crux of what the system is supposed to be.
Okay, well, I hope it's worth how many ever conventions you go to a year.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I think so.
So that's a lot to drop on a system for a game that you could play on a system you already have.
I'm not saying necessarily.
For the potential that, you know.
It's not going to be limited to those two games, and you know it.
I hope the system doesn't die out before they actually get those games out.
ActDeft in chat says Splatoon 2. Of course, the system is not going to die out before they're going to get the Mario game out this holiday. But I do think the holiday is going to be a very much a make or break thing for Nintendo. Like, if Nintendo does not impress people with the holiday sales figures, it's going to be bad. Nintendo may have to fall back on the 3DS, and that's that. I mean, Nintendo may not, and the mobile development, and that may be it for consoles from Nintendo, which is a crazy thing to be saying. I know
they need to put out a fucking console. They need to put one out that's spec wise. Pull a fucking GameCube. Put a console out that's spec, you know, comparable to other consoles, and then you're not going to have a problem with third party support, and you can still put out games that are fucking nice. Stop relying on fucking gimmicks.
Doomplague in chat says the software lineup in the first year will be light, like, you know, every other console. But every other console launched in November, where you could kind of get away with that a little differently.
And there'd be third-party support, too. Like,
And also, I do want to be fair, because there's these graphics floating around out there that show you what is going to be out in the first year. And to be fair, there are a lot of games that are coming out in this first year. My concern is that many of them already exist on other platforms, and it didn't work for the Wii U, and I don't know why it's going to work here. Unless the portability aspect is that big of a seller, which for a multiplayer experience, I personally think it will be. For something like Skyrim, I don't think it will be. But that's my opinion, and ultimately it will be the sales of those that want that that are going to really drive this conversation.
I just hope it's not a $60 game by the time it comes out, because that's ridiculous at that point.
All right, we'll see what happens. Anyway, I do want to move on. We got other stuff to talk about as well that happened this week. Not just Switch stuff, right, Loki?
No, and speaking of Skyrim, actually, so there's been an update to Skyrim, which adds some limitations. Now, I don't think these limitations are necessarily a bad thing, because I don't really see where you'd be running this many mods at one time, but they have a limit now on Fallout 4 in Skyrim. On the Xbox One, you're only going to be able to have 150 mods active at one time. You can install more mods, but you can only have 150 max enabled at one time. PlayStation 4, you can only have 100. Honestly, when I was running with mods, I maybe had 8 or 10. You're not going to...
150 is a lot.
You're not going to...
Unless you're Alan, then that's
well,
just
no,
normal.
Don't get me wrong. On PC, there's a lot of visual graphic, you know, graphic improvement mods you can do, but on PlayStation 4, it's all fucking stats and shit, and I can't honestly see where you would even run that many. I can only imagine, even on PC, I think running that many, that's pretty taxing. That's just asking for trouble, because stuff conflicts with other things. You need to reevaluate your life if you're running 100 mods on Skyrim on console. I mean, seriously, there's like, you gotta probably just...
There weren't even 100 in there that I looked like I wanted to install.
Exactly. I think that's fine, but like, I could see why they're doing that, because I mean, it's just, I would just crash that game like shit. I mean, I don't know.
You know, I didn't mention this during my game of weekend. It's important. Kaijudo in chat says, I can anything from Bethesda up late. They never patch shit on time. Yeah, you know, I got to say, there's still some bugs in Skyrim Special Edition.
There's quite a bit of bugs in Skyrim.
That are kind of like a little ridiculous with how old this game is now, right? And isn't there actually one of the biggest mods? I think the most popular mod on Xbox One right now is like, this is the Skyrim update that Bethesda won't do.
Yeah, the unofficial patch.
Yeah, the unofficial patch. It's like the number one thing. And I can't install it because it's going to bork the achievements thing, which, you know, I would like to just for fun, try to get some of those. I don't think I'm going to put the pedal to the metal, try to get them all. I'll probably install mods before then. But, you know, it's a little silly that the fan community has to fix
it.
Yeah,
that is one of the pluses of the PC community, where you can just do that and there's nothing they can do about it. I mean, right. Unless, of course, you use their official routes to modding the game.
All right. Let's see. Moving on to another story. I guess this one's also about the Switch, but it's about another event that's also happening this weekend. So Final Fantasy XIV, which is an MMO that I play a lot of, they're having their Fan Fest, which I went to in Vegas last year. I went in October. But they're actually having their Fan Fest in Europe right now. And this was kind of the end of the three Fan Fests that are leading up to the launch of Stormblood in June, the next expansion. And so they actually announced that the next playable class is going to be Samurai, was something that they announced at Fan Fest. But they also, you know, they were doing some Q&A and all this stuff at the European Fan Fest. And one of the questions that the producer got asked of Final Fantasy XIV was, would you consider bringing Final Fantasy XIV to the Nintendo Switch? And the answer that Yoshida gave was, in order for it to come to the system, cross-platform play would need to be supported. Yoshida naturally wants the polished title on as many systems as possible. So, and this has always been his reasoning for why it's not on Xbox One, is that he'll be happy to put the game on Xbox One, but Microsoft has to allow cross-platform. You will be able to play the game.
Which I thought they were.
Well, I thought they were now, too. So I'm a little surprised that none of these fan fests...
I think it has to be in PlayStation. And PlayStation has to also allow... Well, they do, but...
I think they do.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Rocket League was supposed to be moving Rocket that direction, League, yeah. Weren't they? Where that you could play cross-platform on all that stuff? So, I mean, yeah, I think Microsoft and Sony are both realizing these policies do them more harm than good. So, especially when Microsoft was just fine with Final Fantasy XI back when they, you know, needed strength on the Xbox 360. So, I'm really surprised that Final Fantasy XIV has not been announced, or at least Stormblood, for the Xbox One. But all that stuff aside, let's talk about the Nintendo Switch for a minute. You know, the whole fact that you could take it out portable, as long as you had a Wi-Fi connection, because it is an online game after all, is kind of neat. But at the same time, and Final Fantasy XIV does play very well on a controller. Like, you can do it very easily on PlayStation 4. But at the same time, here's what I worry about. A lot of folks were very happy to hear that Final Fantasy XIV is going to be ending PlayStation 3 support. And the reason for that is that now they can push Final Fantasy XIV even further graphically and all this other stuff that they wouldn't be able to do on the PlayStation 3 because of the limitations. As far as I know, a Switch is more powerful than PlayStation 3, but it's not as powerful as PlayStation 4. So if the Switch is now going to be the lowest common denominator that holds the game back, I don't want to see it released on the Switch. I want to see the game move further. Now, if I'm wrong, and they are perfectly capable of releasing the game on Switch without having to make any concessions to what, you know, if the Switch is just powerful enough to do what they need the game to do, then fine, cool, put it on the Switch. But I just don't want the Switch to become the new PlayStation 3. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I don't think the whole portableness and all that stuff is worth it. And
I don't even
you have to talk about Nintendo has to be willing to be crossplay with Sony and Microsoft. Like, I kind of just don't see that happening.
No, they don't know how to do that. That's not going to happen.
Well, it would be through Square Enix's servers. That's how they do it. It's because you know, again, we can sit here and say Nintendo doesn't know how to do it, but remember, Phantasy Star Online was awesome on the GameCube. Too bad it was the one fucking GameCube game that ever used that adapter to let you get on the internet with it. So, I mean, I have no reason to believe that Nintendo is not capable of doing these things. Will it do these things?
And also, I don't know if it really... I mean, it would be fun to be able to play it, like, I guess, portably, but... You're right. You need to have like a good Wi-Fi connection or that to do that. So how feasible would it really be to, I mean, just get a laptop at that point? I mean, seriously.
Well, I'm all for more people getting exposed to this game through new consoles. But, you know, again, just as long as it's not going to hold it back for everybody else, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Switch. They did, though, I'll briefly mention this before we go on to Loki's next story. They did tease a little bit about the PlayStation 4 Pro, and it sounds like they are going to be doing a Pro patch for
PlayStation, which is cool. Without the Pro patch, though, that little beta thing that they've got, you know, with that over, like, whatever they call that, the overclocking or whatever it does, it's apparently makes it look, you know, run much nicer. So.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what they do for play. I guess it's one of those things where it's like it's not a super high priority for them, but they are realizing that they can make PlayStation 4 Pro be able to display more things, you know, with the added RAM and all this stuff. So they're talking about that. So I'm curious because I do own the game on PlayStation 4, although I probably won't get Stormblood on PlayStation 4 because, okay, double dipping is a little much. But that's one of those things where inevitably on Black Friday it will go on sale very cheap and then I'll buy it and catch up that way and be able to play on the TV and PC.
Cool.
Because I'm a nerd. All right, let's move on. Loki.
One of the other games I was actually thinking about today, I should really go back and play. Watch Dogs 2 is getting some DLC. So this new piece of DLC is called Human Conditions, and it revolves around self-driving cars. So basically the premise is the company, the Google equivalent in this game, Noodle, has these self-driving cars that assign values to people's lives. So in the case of an accident, the car will prioritize the safety of whomever it deems more to be worth more. And so, you know, of course, there's a lot of, you know, morality questions regarding that. So, of course, you know, they're going to be hacking Noodle to, you know, stop this. The other thing, of course, there's some other missions that involve ransomware and machines and barrier hospitals. So that's to be... It should be coming out actually next week on PlayStation 4 on the, yeah, it's on the 21st, and PlayStation 4 and PC and Xbox One are March 23rd. And then also there is the ending has been edited as well. So there's a new update that extends the ending to the game, which says that there may be a hint at the location for Watch Dogs 3. Or a possible expansion to the game. So apparently at the end of the game, spoiler, I guess, there is a WAV file, which the title, which appears to be coordinates pointing to London. So perhaps London will be the next location of Watch Dogs 3. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I should go back and play that game because it's actually pretty cool.
All right. I think especially because Watch Dogs 2 has been getting... it's been getting better reviews even than the first one. I don't see why they won't do a third game. I mean, I guess it's sales at the end of the day, but...
Yeah, I do need to go back and play it, though, because that was a pretty good game. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk a little bit about, this is another, God, I hate to keep going back to the Switch. I actually don't think this is as bad as everyone's making it out to be. I'm curious to see where Loki's going to be on the fence with this. But it was announced this week that one of the big games that's going to be on the Switch, well, on the Wii U as well, really, is, of course, Zelda Breath of the Wild. And they are going to be doing a $20 season pass for the game that will go on sale on March 3rd. There's a whole YouTube that Eiji Aonuma did to talk about how Hyrule will be better because of this expansion pack that they're going to be doing. There's going to be two releases. Dates for this. There's going to be a summer expansion and there's going to be a winter expansion. But with this expansion pack, you'll be able to get new chests and clothing in Breath of the Wild right from the start. Once the DLC hits in the summer, you're going to get the Cave of Trials and a harder difficulty setting and an additional map feature. And then in the winter, there's going to be a new, I guess, side story, a different story in the game, and another new dungeon and additional challenges in the game. But there's a lot of people that are kind of going, ah, fuck, Zelda's going DLC. Here goes Nintendo down this season pass route. I definitely have an opinion on this. I'm curious where you're at, though, Loki. I got to ask.
It just has to be worthwhile. Mm-hmm. I mean, what the content is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. So, I mean, they mentioned a little bonus chest. I think that's stupid. I mean, that's kind of unnecessary.
You want to see how meaty this the Cave of Trials and all this stuff is? Yeah, like, what
I
is
think
that?
It's just, it sounds really short, just based on, you know, in the whole side story and stuff. This doesn't seem like worthwhile content. Whereas, like, Mario Kart, that was pretty cool because they actually had, you know, some good tracks and new characters and stuff. And that was definitely more substantial as far as this. And I didn't have a problem with Season Pass on that. Zelda, it almost like feels like they're just throwing it in there because they can.
Well, I think, though, Loki, because of Mario Kart 8 is kind of like a proven track record for them, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think Nintendo, you know, as strange as it is, they seem to do DLC. They're one of the best at DLC right now. Like, their DLC that they do is really good. You know, they had us all in the Mario Brothers 2 Golden Coins. And a lot of these other games that Nintendo's done their own DLC for have actually been pretty kick-ass. So I'm okay with this. I'm completely okay with this, and I'll probably even buy it because I'm sure these things are going to be like the Mario Kart 8 DLC. If I'm wrong, then I won't make that mistake again in the future. But right now, I feel a little better about this than I even do kind of where Final Fantasy 15's been going, and I'm starting to have a little bit of buyer's remorse on that season pack for 15.
That's a little weird.
I didn't care for that carnival thing they put in. I thought it was just a little... I thought it was kind of silly myself. I'm hopeful the Gladio story will be good, and I know where that's going to fit in into the main story. It's very obvious where all... There is very, very, very obvious, if you play through Final Fantasy 15, where each and every one of those side stories fit into the main game. So I'm curious to do the Gladio thing and play that through. I hope it's better than the stuff we're seeing so far, which is free. So it's okay if the carnival is not that great because it was free, so fine. Free is free. But I'll be curious about this other stuff. So let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I literally just got to that part of the main story last night about Gladio. Yeah. So, and that's, hey, take your time. If you keep going that slowly, then you won't ever have to play the chapter 13 that I played. Right. And that's probably not
a
bad
thing. I've actually been holding off on playing the game because of all this DLC stuff. Uh-huh. You know, I kind of want to play the full game when it comes out and not have to go back and play all this shit. So I'm waiting to do all that.
ActDeft points out Mario Kart 8, Smash, and Hyrule Warriors have great DLC. Let's see. Orange Wright says Mario Kart Season Pass was good. Only Season Pass I ever bought, though.
Smash is a little expensive.
Smash did get expensive, but I also understand the need for licensing, especially with things like Cloud and Bayonetta and Ryu and all this stuff. So it's like, okay, you know,
then don't put those characters in there.
Are you kidding? Absolutely put those characters in there. They're a lot of fun. Oh, so they cost a little premium. Big deal.
No, bullshit. You shouldn't have to pay for licensing fees if you have your own fucking library full of characters that you could be putting in there.
I agree and I don't agree. I think in order to get some of those extra characters, if they have to cost a dollar or two more, fine. I'm fine with it. Like, getting to be able to play with Cloud and Smash is awesome. So.
And they couldn't put Snake back in there?
Well, that get a licensing thing. Do you think anybody at Konami was functioning when this game was being made? It was a different story back when the last game was being made. It's different now. Anyhow. All right. Let's move on to some more stories. Loki, something that's not the Switch. Some good news from Nintendo that's not the Switch or yes. Nintendo adjacent.
So the expansion finally came out. So now you can get those Johto Pokemon. So they added 80 new Pokemon to the game, including some new berries you can get as well. And then some new items on top of that.
Evolution items.
Yeah, evolution items. Are.
And then the berries, there's a pineapple berry that looks like a pineapple. And that will it will not quite double the candy.
It'll give you more candy.
But it gives you more candy. Like, I caught a Cyndaquil. A Cyndaquil spawned on the house today. I must live in a Cyndaquil nest now. And I caught it, and I used that berry because, if this is a starter Pokemon, I want to use those berries to get more candy because starter Pokemons are not as common usually. So,
do they have new starter Pokemon now?
Well, no. If you start a new character, you still only get to pick from Bulbasaur, Squirtle, or you walk away from him and you get Pikachu. It's still right. that same way. They didn't change that.
Okay.
But I still, they were the starters in Gen 2, and so obviously like Cyndaquil and Totodile and those guys are still, are you pulling up Pokemon Go to see if there's a Cyndaquil out right now?
No, I was just...
I see him. I see him right once in a while. So, and then there's another berry. The other berry is like Valium. For the Pokemon, it slows them down.
Because they have the new encounters now, so they move around quite a bit.
Have you seen Abra?
Yes.
That's the one that is like flies in a figure eight on the screen. It's not... I didn't find that stuff to be that bad, though. It's just another thing they do to fuck with you, besides the whole, like, attacking in one place. So I thought that was,
Can I just
whatever.
Say, I am very tired of seeing these stupid Murkrows, because they don't evolve
They're
at
everywhere.
All.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're fucking everywhere.
They are. What are you catching right now?
A Murkrow. But I'm fucking tired of seeing them. I mean, because I'm going to have one buffed up Murkrow at the end because, they're all over the place, but you can't evolve them.
And Niantic, nerf Blissey. Oh, my God. Blissey is unreal right now. You can't fight Blissey in a gym unless you have two people.
What's Blissey?
It's an evolved Chansey that was in Gen 2. And I don't know if you guys are like me, you got a shit ton of Chauncey candies during the Valentine's event, so you were able to evolve Blissey when Gen 2 went live, which I did. And it's cool that I have one, but everybody else has one too. And if they're on a gym, they have so many hit points, you can't take them out in the 99-second clock on the gym. So like you have to have two people to do it to get the Blissey's hit points down in time. It sucks. Because I don't think there's Blissey is a normal type, so what would be effective against it? Fighting type? Like, I tried using a Machamp, or not, is Machamp? No. God, I can't remember. Machoke is the fully evolved one, right? That's the one I tried to use against, like, the best fighting type one I had, and it wasn't doing anything. Maybe somebody in chat knows which one you got to use against Blissey, because that is, they're going to have to balance that.
Some other things that they added too. They added new avatar items, which cost money. So fuck them for that. They also added some new music.
Well,
so
Loki, if you caught enough gems, you can get the gold. Get it that way.
I'm not buying their shit. Fuck that. They even have like a T-shirt. I think that says like 30. If you reach level 30, I'm assuming that's what that unlocks when that unlocks. But I don't care. New music. So they have new music at night and new music encounters at night as well. I just wish there was more of a variety of Pokemon because honestly, I'm still running into the same few.
Oh, God. Are you going to be one of those people that's already waiting for Gen 3? Because within the first day.
I'm waiting for those other Pokemon to come out, like come around. I did run into like some different things. Like I got Psyduck finally and a Chansey and all that. But,
The nests are rebalancing, too. If you actually use... I love the Sylph Road. Props to the people that run that site. But there's an Atlas thing on Sylph Road, and it's all crowdsourced, basically. So you kind of note where the nests are in your neighborhood, and it's a great way to figure out where the Pokemon you want are. Now you can see how the Gen 2 are kind of in there as well. So it does make some of the Gen 1 harder to find, which is a bummer, because there's still things I need, like Kabuto. I don't have a Kabutops. So I still need enough Kabuto to evolve that. And now the Kabuto are harder to find their nests because there's Gen 2 nests that are available. But the good news is there are still at least some Kabuto nests out there. It's just I may have to drive a little further to find them because they're not going to be as frequent.
Yeah.
So. To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, CUP. There you go. But I think the game kind of needed a kick in the ass. You know, a lot of people have been going around going, dead game,
I've
LOL.
I've been definitely seeing a lot of activity. Like, I work in downtown Sacramento now, and, like, it's just fucking lit up. Like, there's, like, ridiculous amounts of lures on shit. Like, I'm like, holy fuck, it's like pouring rain outside, and there's like lures on every single lure down in like Capitol Park and stuff.
When they were lasting for 6 hours, that kind of helps too.
Well, no, it wasn't lasting for six. This is after that whole Valentine's Day thing's up.
Oh, really?
Unless they're still lasting for 6 hours.
I thought the 6 hour thing was going to go on for like 2 more days. Like, extended
last time I saw, because I still have some in inventory, and it still says they last for 30 minutes, unless they didn't update that verbiage.
They probably didn't update the verbiage ever. But an ACTF points out the 6 hour thing ended today.
Oh, okay. So, well, then that's probably why there were so many.
Yeah, that's probably why there's so many. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like when you go back. I still do, even when during 30 minutes. The time I see lures used is like when people go to dinner and there's a Pokestop at dinner and people will lure. Yeah, that's it's still getting used for that. And I'm sure will be even with Gen 2. All right. Well, we're gonna take a step.
Oh, and I hit 24 this week as well.
Congrats. I hit 28. Get on my level. I'm just kidding. But I did hit 28. I'm excited. All right. Let's travel to a time when games were simpler. Oops. That is not... That's a different theme song. How about this theme song? Yes, there you go. We're going to travel back to a simpler time when you didn't have cell phones to play games. In fact, you didn't need much to play this game. It's time to get into the classic game of the week. And this is where usually Dark Sakura would step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be playing this game this week. But Dark Sakura's not here tonight. So you know what that means? Halo! Just kidding. I don't want to die. We're going to pick a different game here for the classic game of the week. But I am going to pick this week's classic game of the week is my choice. And I have picked... I've gone way back for this one. Way back, Loki. This is way back. Let's picture a simpler time. How about the first release of this game in 1977? Or maybe the releases that I remember were a little more recent, 1980. In fact, these games are so old, they don't have music in them. So I don't really have anything to play in the background. But this series ended up being so popular that... it showed up in gaming again and again and again, and it even showed up in gaming, probably in the 90s during the CD-ROM era, and they did this epic introduction in one of the games that reimagined the very first game in this epic cinematic opening that says, you're standing behind the White House. In one corner is a small window, which is slightly ajar. That's right. Classic game of the week this week is Zork. That's what I've picked this week. Some folks in the chat room called it. Good job. Zork is the classic game of the week this week, which is a text adventure-based game, or at least it was when it was first released. And I do want to state, even though I played a little clip there from Return to Zork, the classic game of the week is going to be the original Zork trilogy, or I guess Zork 1, if you will. That's the one I remember the most. But Zork, of course, was a text adventure-based game, so you had to read in order to be able to play this game. It wasn't something that had fancy graphics, because the original version of Zork was written in the late 70s. They used a programming language called MDL, and they used a computer that you don't even have in your home, the DEC PDP-10. It was written by 4 different authors, Tim Anderson, Mark Blank, Bruce Daniels, and Dave Lebling, and they were all out of MIT. They were part of the dynamic modeling group at MIT. So this game that they imagined ended up being published commercially by Infocom, and they did split it into 3 games. They had Zork, The Great Underground Empire, which was part 1, Zork 2, The Wizard of Froboz, and Zork 3, which was The Dungeon Master. And this was not the first text adventure game, but it took the text adventure games a little bit further because you could use more of the English language with it. Like in early games, you might have been able to say like, hit monster, but Zork would allow you to say hit monster with the dagger. Like it would actually let you put together sentences in the game, so it was a little more powerful of a text adventure game. So anyway, Zork was set in the ruins of an ancient empire lying far underground. You would actually, that was the opening line in Zork. There was about the white mailbox, or excuse me, the White House, the mailbox, and all that. So you actually go into the house, you go into the underground, and you hope that you don't get eaten by a Gru, which was a very scary thing in the games, is that you might move into the rooms if you don't, or if you're not properly lit, you will actually get eaten by a Gru. And then you travel through the Great Underground Empire and you look for treasures to complete the adventure. And this is a very hard game. I remember being a kid, I was not able to get very far in this. We did own Zork on the Commodore 64, and I do remember playing this game, and I always got eaten by the fucking Gru. Like, I never was able to really get past that until there were maps, there were strategy guides. I'm sure there was even the published way on how to get from start to finish as fast as possible. But it was a tough game. But, you know, it was especially for people that were really into fantasy novels, which, you know, the 70s was really a great... I mean, fantasy novels are still big today. But even in the 70s, you know, when Dungeons & Dragons was still growing in popularity and so forth, we didn't really have video games realizing a lot of that yet. You know, Zork presented a really cool little thing for, like, fantasy novel fans to be able to do, like, a choose-your-own-adventure type of novel, but, like, on the next level, really. Zork, by the way, apparently there are 28 ways for you to die in Zork. One of them is getting eaten by a Gru. I know that. And you can actually beat the game in 228 moves by exploiting a bug. That's what they're saying. So I guess you could speed run Zork if you really wanted to. I wonder if they'll do that in a future Awesome Games Done Quick. You'll have to be able to read fast in order to do that. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, it's a text adventure game, so I don't know how many of you guys really got to check this out or play it, but they did do some interesting re-releases of the game. I remember this was on GameTap. You remember the GameTap thing when you could, yes, like, you rented all the games for whatever? Zork, the whole trilogy, was there on GameTap. That was one way. That was probably the most recent time I played that series. But also, what was this? You could, in Call of Duty Black Ops in 2010... there's actually an Easter egg where you can get up in the main menu from a chair and find a computer. And if you type Zork into the computer, you play Zork 1. And the full game is in Call of Duty Black Ops, because Activision now owns all these licenses back from the Infocom days. So that's pretty cool. That's one way that you can do it there. Did you know there were parodies as well? I did not know this, Loki, but there were parody games of Zork. It was so popular. In 1988, they released Pork, the Great Underground Sewer System. How about that? It's like straight out of Mad Magazine. I love it. Anyway, Zork was a game that had a huge legacy. There were all sorts of sequels, including the Enchanter Trilogy was the next thing released, which included Enchanter, Sorcerer, and Spellbreaker. Wishbringer was kind of a side story that was also in the Zork universe. There was then Beyond Zork and Zork Zero. But then, after a five-year hiatus in 1993, that's when Return to Zork came out, which was a CD-ROM game. Did you ever play Return to Zork?
That I never played awesome. Any of the Zork games.
That game, okay, you got Return to Zork is awesome because it's like one of the peak games with the like incredibly bad CD-ROM acting. Hold on, I closed the YouTube with the guy acting because I didn't want the voice getting in here. Hold on, let me get to the part where he opens the mailbox in this video and check out, I know this is really great radio, but listen to this acting.
Ah, the sweepstakes winner. I've been looking forward to, no!
Like, totally, like, done, like, that, how somebody would do their YouTube now, like, with a piece of fabric from Joann's hung behind them in their living room studio. I love it. Anyway, so Zork had some, like, amazing, like, or Return to Zork had some amazing...
So what exactly was Zork? What is a Zork?
You would ask that. Zork was,
it's like a place, I'm assuming?
No, because the place was the Great Underground Empire. And SSG100 Matt says it was a chapter in Ready Player One.
Yes, that did play a very big part in Ready Player One, because they had a whole bunch of these games in there that you would play out in real life type thing, and Zork was one of those.
Okay, so here it is. The word Zork is a nonsense word often used by MIT hackers as the name for any unfinished program until they were ready to be installed on the system. With the game complete, they renamed the game Dungeon. By this time, the game was already quite popular and becoming relatively well-known in gaming circles. Sometime in 1978, the developers received notice from TSR, the publishers of Dungeons & Dragons, who claimed the game violated their copyrights. So to avoid any legal wrangling, they changed the name back to Zork. So... It is a complete nonsense word. I believe in the later games, it does end up being representative of the land that you're going to. But anyway, Return to Zork came out, and then they had the Philosopher's Stone. Jesus Christ, I can't speak. Zork Nemesis came out in 96, and then Zork the Undiscovered Underground in 97, and then the last game in the Zork trilogy or series was Zork Grand Inquisitor, which came out in 1997, and that was the last time that the Zork series was really visited. I actually owned Grand Inquisitor because I liked those games, and the, you know, they reminded me of a very fond time in my computer gaming life when I was a kid, so I have a soft spot for these games. Anyway, there it is, your classic game of the week, text adventure, Zork. And I learned tonight, it's a completely nonsensical word, but a great series of games. All right, we're going to take a break, though, for now. When we come back, there's plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including games that are coming out this week, what's in stores this week. And we're going to talk a little bit about updates on PlayStation Now, on Xbox One, and did the NES Classic, the Mini Classic, did it end production? If you don't have one...
It start production?
We'll answer those questions and more when we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 676, already in progress for this February the 19th of 2017. We're going to get into rapid fire news here shortly, but first, I don't usually do this on the air, but this is something from one of our longtime listeners. You know, I've known this guy for years and years now, it seems. He's a good friend of the show. It's our pal Ranma over back east from New York, part of Anime Jam Session, which, by the way, related shout out here, is celebrating 300 episodes live this Tuesday. So big snaps to the gang over at Anime Jam Session for that achievement. And be sure to be here live on Tuesday when that goes on. But anyway, one way to get my attention is to send presents to the show. So Rama has sent a present to the show, but it very clearly says, do not open package until next Sunday's show. Well, guess what? It's Sunday. But see, I'm worried it's going to be something for Jamie in here.
It's probably Gwyneth Paltrow's head. It's
probably just Gwyneth Paltrow's head in the box. Well, I'm now... Okay, I swear I have not looked in the box. You guys hear me? I did... During the break, I went and tried to loosen up some of the tape, but that's all I've done to it to try to make this a little easier to open live on air. I think... Ooh, do I feel bubble wrap? My favorite. He just sent me a wad of bubble wrap to sit there and pop, pop, pop. Do you think it's...
It's bubble wrap.
Yeah, there is bubble wrap, but do you think... Just guesses on what it might be before I open this, because do you think it could be, I know we were talking about Dunkin' Donuts coffee last week. I have a feeling it could be, well, but no, I think he sent this before that, but I'm going to guess it's something Dunkin' Donuts. You have a guess, Loki? What did Rama send us?
Know.
All right, we'll find out. Here we go. Let's see.
If it's a donut, it's probably not survived the trip.
Can you talk us through this so I can, while I open this?
Yes,
he put a lot of fucking tape in this thing.
Yes. So there's red, bubble wrap there. Come on. Where's your knife?
Where did I put the scissors?
I don't see him.
I got him. This is great radio, Loki.
Don't cut yourself.
I'm trying. God damn it, Rama.
He just doesn't want to make sure that no one steals anything out.
This bitch.
What did he send you?
This is something where I think JB had to be here. It is a bag... of mini Stroop waffles, for those of you that were here for the Christmas episode. Not the liqueur, like we were indulging on Christmas, but an actual bag of, like, the candy or whatever it is. The actual waffle. Do you like waffles, Loki?
Of course. Who doesn't?
So you're going to like these, which are caramel flavored, apparently. So that is that was... You made me wait till the show for that. Is that... I can't believe you sent this big old box to send us that. And all this bubble wrap. I'm so excited to pop each and every one of those bubbles later on. There it is.
That's it?
Yep.
All right.
Loki, don't be ungrateful. This is amazing.
I just thought that box would be more.
I know. I'm laughing because this poor guy spent this money to send us a big old box for some Stroop waffles. I love it, though. These are going to be some delicious fucking Stroop waffles. Thank you, Rama. Rama said it's made with the liquor. All right, I better open this up here. Loki, why don't we get to some rapid fire news while I open this up, and then we can indulge in some of these on air. And as far as Jamie's concerned, Shh, don't tell her. We didn't get anything. Is this, he just sent us bubble wrap. It was so rude. All right, Loki.
All right, so Valve has finally patched a bug in Team Fortress 2. Now, this was a 10-year-old bug, actually. So what it was, apparently there was an issue with hitboxes, depending on the, you know, if you started off as like a scout, heavy, or sniper class and then switched to a soldier, pyro, or demoman, engineer, medic, spy, or whatever, there's going to be a discrepancy between your character's avatar hitbox due to the difference in class, the class's programming. And apparently, because of that, it allowed, you know, certain hits not to be detected and some to be detected when they shouldn't have been. So now it's been fixed. So that's pretty awesome. It took them 10 years to fix that. And then Final Fantasy 15 is getting Cup Noodle Final Fantasy headgear. It looks so epic. Wearing Cup Noodle on your head.
I thought we got into this a little bit last week. Didn't they announce, though, like, how this is coming out in the States now? Because I know in Japan, you can only get this through, like, buying all the ultra-rare Cup of Noodle. Didn't they announce how it was going to come out over here?
No. But apparently,
I thought they did. I thought they said something about, like, some DLC kit was going to have it in there.
Well, this is, you know, they're saying that it's going to be, yeah, because originally you had the Final Fantasy Boss Collection, which was, like, 6,084 yen. And then, of course, now it's going to be available to those to download for the Boss Collection buyers, I guess, sometime this summer. So when you buy the Cup Noodle Final Fantasy Boss Collection.
I think the next convention I go to, maybe for Mag West or something, I'm going to wear a giant Cup Noodle hat. Why not? It'll be an easy
thing.
It'll be an easy thing to do.
It's just ridiculous.
Like, you guys are taking this Cup Noodle thing way too far.
Well, I mean, seriously, like, come on. Like, you have this epic game, Final Fantasy, and then you put this in there. It's kind of ridiculous.
Okay.
It's more of a Hitman thing.
And on a related note, try one of these Stroop waffles. They're fucking amazing.
Let's try one.
Rama, they are so fucking good. I'm making Loki try one. Loki never eats food.
It's
we
like
give
a
him.
Cookie.
It is. It's like a cookie. It is very good. And Maya in chat says, Sky has Stroop waffle mouth. Yeah, I maybe have eaten already eaten like three of them.
Huh? It doesn't taste like much.
Loki, just next time you send a gift to the show, Rama, just say, not for Loki. Loki not allowed. They're great.
Well, I was expecting waffle tasting, and it's just...
It does taste a little like waffle. You don't taste the waffle? You want me to get some of that liquor? That tastes like waffle.
No, I don't need waffle.
All right.
Liquor.
I'm gonna save
they're
some
fucking
of these.
Dense, but...
Yeah, I know. They're really good. They got a lot of caramel in them. I'm gonna save some for Alan. I'm sure he'll be excited to try that when he gets home. And maybe one or two will last through the week before Jamie's here next. We'll see. But, you know, you snooze, you lose.
Should have been at the show.
All right. Cough or no cough, you could add Stroop waffle. It would have made it better. All right. In all seriousness, let's move on. Talk about Injustice 2. Some folks excited for that upcoming game in the fighting series that made by the same people that make Mortal Kombat. And some more characters have been announced this week in a trailer. Cheetah is one of the new characters that's going to be in the game. A villain from the Wonder Woman universe, if you were unaware. Also, Poison Ivy and Catwoman confirmed in the game. So this is all kind of like a girl power type of trailer, if you will, showing off some of the new characters in Injustice 2. So looks pretty cool. I like the first Injustice game. It was pretty good. So
I haven't played it. I have it in
really?
My library. Cause
need to get on that. Need to get on that.
Have a play it.
All right, let's see, and this is something you really need to get on, and unfortunately, if you are listening to the podcast, you're probably too late for this unless you already got it. Those of you that are listening...
Oh, yeah, I should buy that.
Yeah, those of you that are listening live, you literally have your last chance this evening because it's going away tomorrow, but it is the Humble Freedom Bundle, and this is a hell of a Humble Bundle. Now, it is a $30 minimum, which usually with Humble Bundle, you're only paying a dollar. But this is definitely going to be worth the $30 baseline. So the Humble Freedom Bundle, which you have 15 hours left to get and counting, has like, there's like 30 plus games in this. There's an insane amount of games in this. And the money that you donate you can't even choose to give it to the game makers or as a humble tip. 100% of these bundles will, or yeah, 100% of the proceeds will go to one of these three charities or all of these three charities or however you choose to divide up your donation between these three charities, which includes the ACLU, Doctors Without Borders, and the International Rescue Committee. So, I mean, and when I say like huge games, you've got things like The Witness, which I think is $30 itself, Stardew Valley, The Day of the Tentacle remake, you know, some things that have been in bundles before, like VVVV, Super Meat Boy, World of Goo, but then even even some newer releases are in here too, like 2064 Read Only Memories, which just had that big patch that they did a couple weeks ago. Let's see. I just bought this game on Steam probably a month ago, Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball. Anyway, lots of games. Also, ebooks. So you can get things like the Hands-On Intro to Game Programming is available as well. So anyhow, that's it. I mean, there's tons in there. Also, yeah, and it's pointed out, clever username in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says Subnautica, they sold out of keys. Yeah, they
same with Super Meat Boy, but the DRM version's there.
Right, and to be fair, they did warn you that some of these games would have a limited number.
And to be honest, I already have Super Meat Boy, so that's no big deal. I have most of these games already.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of these games I have, but it is a really good cause.
Pick it up anyways.
Yeah, it's a really good cause. And even just some of the ebooks and stuff I think are kind of cool. Like the whole like programming one is probably one I could use. And there's even some music in there too, which I think is pretty rad. So yeah, check that out. The Humble Freedom Bundle. There's only 15 hours left. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, if it's already after, let's see, what would 15 hours from now be? That's going to be 11 a.m. Pacific? About. So if it's after that, you might be out of luck. So anyhow, that's it. Let's travel around and check out what is in stores this week, Loki.
All right. And I just purchased my Humble Freedom bundle, so we're good there. Okay, this week we do have some things. So we've got Berserk and the Band of the Hawk on PC, PlayStation 4, and the Vita. Halo Wars 2 on Xbox One and Windows 10. Ease Origin on PlayStation 4, and then that's actually it. Next week, though, we got some, or the week after, we got some good stuff too.
Horizon well, because the Switch is happening the week after, right?
Yeah, but Horizon Zero Dawn also is coming out the following week.
I didn't realize that was out. Let's travel to Japan right now and check out some of the releases over there. On February 23rd, which is my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. In Japan, Nier Automata comes out on February 23rd. Super Robot Wars V, Batman Return to Arkham, Majo to Haikihei comes out. Let's see, Assassin's Creed, the Ezio Collection is all out. And that's all on the PlayStation 4 this week. I'm sure that Nier game has a lot of people interested in that. There's also a brand new white DualShock 4 controller coming out. And, I missed some of these. There's also a Ride 2 is out this week. So this is a busy, busy, busy week over in Japan for those games. On the Vita, doesn't slow down. Super Robot Wars 5 is also on the Vita. Island is out this week on the PlayStation Vita. Timepiece Ensemble comes out, as well as Galgun Double Piece Bilingual comes out on the PlayStation Vita. And lastly, just checking out the Nintendo 3DS. I don't think they really have anything because they probably are gearing up over there for the Nintendo Switch release over there as well. So there you go. How about the UK, Loki? I know Dark Sakura's not here, but maybe you can help her out.
Yeah, not a whole ton of stuff coming out. Shift Happens. That's on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And also Lego Worlds is getting its console debut. That's that kind of Lego cross Minecraft game, and that's on PlayStation 4, Xbox One.
I thought that was the one they said they weren't going to make anymore. Maybe I'm crazy. Yeah,
you're thinking mostly the online one. No, this is the one that was in early access for a while, and then finally is out of early access. I still haven't played it. I've gotten to it when it was in beta, so this has been a long time since I actually tried it out. But yeah, so that was a thing. I wonder if I thought this was coming out over here as well at some point soon, but maybe that was on like a TBA release date. I'm trying to see here. Oh, that was earlier this month. So that was back on the 7th. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's in March. Okay, so we're getting a little bit later over here.
A little bit later.
All right. Yeah, so that's really it.
All right. Let's go to our mailbag. Every week, you guys send us emails, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read said emails on the show. Of course, some weeks are better than others. Some weeks we get a lot of emails. Some weeks we don't get any emails. And this is one of those weeks where we have one email. So thank you to our one emailer this week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Our email this week from YYR, serial emailer to the program. Hello, LR. I wanted to send you a lousy email so you had something to not read. Well, when you're it, buddy, guess what? I read it anyway. I'm really glad you mentioned the DDR finals on last week's show, and I'd encourage anyone interested to head over to YouTube and watch them. I can also explain why you didn't recognize much of the song list used for the finals. Back in DDR Extreme, the absolute hardest thing in the game was the challenge chart for Paranoia Survivor Max. In DDR Ace, that chart is rated 16 on the difficulty scale out of a possible 19. But the only charts allowed in the finals were rated 17 and up, which means that literally 100% of DDR Extreme was deemed to be too easy. Time to get good. By the way, is it just me or have you guys quietly retired the FUs of the Week segment? I haven't noticed it lately. It wasn't intentionally quietly retired. It was supposed to be during our big show roll shakeup thing, moved to the end of the show. And I think part of what happened with that is that when it was supposed to be, we just keep forgetting to do it. And now it's kind of one of those things, I got to admit, I kind of don't miss it.
Yeah, I don't either.
So, I don't know. It's one of those things, I'm not going to say it's gone, but it's on an as-needed basis. Because there's certainly going to be things that we're going to need to F you once in a while. Which I know might be sad because it's a thing we've done ever since episode one. But at the same time, maybe we have enough cynical stuff in video games. And maybe we don't necessarily need more. But again, when it's warranted,
well,
it will be here.
I feel like a lot of times when we're actually doing FUs a week, it's like a struggle to think of something, yeah, you know, right away.
There's been a lot of weeks recently where people are like, I don't really have anything this week. It's been a good week. So, you know. But again, Jamie's not here to speak either. I think she would feel very differently on this where she probably, but then again, she probably hasn't noticed it's been missing either. But, you know, again, I'm not going to say it's gone. It's just going to be as an as-needed basis at this point. So when there's things to rant about, we'll rant about it. And SG100 Matt does point out, bad drivers did get the most FUs lifetime-wise. You know, on the inevitable day when OLR ends, maybe that's how we'll end it. We'll end it with a gigantic FU and then roll credits. Does that sound good?
Sure, why not?
All right. YYR continues on. By the way, props to you for catching that. I did notice that we hadn't done it in a while, but I kind of didn't want to like shine a spotlight on it because, again, like we might want to bring it back or whatever. But props to you for noticing. Can't sneak one by you. Why don't you go do something productive, like find Carmen Sandiego. All right. Anyway, the email finishes. I don't have much else to say, so I'll leave you with this. If you value your free time at all, avoid Pocket Card Jockey on 3DS. It's developed by Game Freak, a.k.a. the Pokemon developers, and it's a cross between Derby Owners Club and Solitaire. And I'm addicted. Oh, I see. This is one of those. Avoid it because you'll get sucked into
Speaking
it as well.
Of Derby Owners Club, now that we think about this, do they have that emulated on PC yet? Because I could see myself wasting a lot of time on that.
That's a very good question. Why wouldn't we have that?
Can you imagine that?
They've emulated
that's
everything.
That's what we need on the Switch right there. Mm. Have that shit.
YYR says it is not emulated.
Huh.
Must be the, I don't know, crazy fact that it's on multiple monitors and all this stuff. So
yeah, that's all network together.
YYR says you have to emulate the network and card system, too. That's why it's not out yet. Anyway. So there you go. Help me. It's signed, Aaron YYR. Good email, Aaron. You get the gold star email of the week. Do you know why you got the gold star email of the week? Nobody else emailed us. There you go. A gold star all for you, YYR. Congratulations. All right, that's going to do it for the mailbag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want a gold star by default in future weeks. In the meantime, we have more gaming news to get to, and then we are going to open up that Skype line a little later. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Loki.
Well, this is definitely a service I don't give a shit about. PlayStation Now. Have not used it. Have no interest in using it, but it's still a thing, because sure as shit they're not going to give us any fucking support for PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 1 games anymore. That fucking PlayStation Pro can render that 4K display, but fuck if it can render goddamn PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games. It's just too complex for that thing. PSP can handle it, though. But they are dropping support now for the PlayStation 3 and the Vita and other devices. So now PlayStation Now will only work on the PlayStation 4 and the PC. So anything else? Not going to happen.
That is kind of shady that the Vita and the Vita TV are getting the shaft on that one. It wasn't that long ago that they were pushing that Vita TV. So I'm kind of, but at the same time, you know, would I miss PlayStation Now? Probably not. Like,
does PlayStation Now, does that have PlayStation 4 games in it, or is it just PS3 games?
I believe it's only PS3 games.
There's maybe adding PlayStation 4 games.
Oh, okay, maybe.
Woo, don't care though, because I still want PlayStation 2 games and PlayStation 1 games.
I just think, look, I get what they were trying to do. Well, at first I didn't understand what they were trying to do, but now they have the whole Netflix model, right?
I think that they're really missing the opportunity. Like, they have these really deep sales sometimes on PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2 games, I think, but they're only on PS3, or they're like, I have to pay like $15 to get like a PlayStation 2 game to run on PlayStation 4. It's not like the stuff that I already have in my library, which they know I have in my library. But I would really love it if they added that support, because you could have, with all these deep sales that they do, just this impulse factor building up that library, kind of like your Steam library.
It is kind of, it's really irritating that things that I bought digitally on PlayStation 3 that are supported by PlayStation Now, I can't just play through PlayStation Now. Like, I think that's one of those concessions. Like, maybe Sony doesn't want to do it because of bandwidth or power or something, but I think if Sony wants PlayStation Now to become a better thing, they need to get more eyes on it by giving you incentive for things that you've already got in the past. And they'll make a sale when they sell more games on PlayStation 3 or whatever stuff in the past. I think the way they went about doing the whole thing was just not the best. And I understand, though, to their credit, for whatever it's worth, they probably had to renegotiate a lot of agreements. I don't think maybe you necessarily had the right to stream a game just because it existed on PlayStation 3. They probably had to go renegotiate with those companies, and that's why PlayStation Now's stock is limited. But at the same time, for those companies that see the value in letting their PS3 games go on sale again, like, just do it.
I don't like the service, and here's why. Because I don't, like, when I'm playing games, a lot of times my wife is streaming video. So I can't have, even my bandwidth is pretty good, but I can't have a really nice stream for, game stream to go along with a video stream they have through Netflix. It can't fit that kind of bandwidth on my system. And so that's a problem, because, I've tried streaming. You can do the second screen support or whatever with your PC on the PlayStation 4 and play that way. And it doesn't work well at all in my house, even though my PlayStation 4 is literally 6 feet away, and my router is like 6 feet away. It's just like it's right in front of me, but it still doesn't work on that network. Mm.
Did Vib Ribbon ever come out on PlayStation 4? Didn't they promise that when Vib Ribbon was first unveiled?
I don't remember. I can check.
Brad from Pod Culture suggests hardwiring it.
Yeah, I could do that since it is that far away, but I shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to go through this hassle to be able to play a game. I mean, it should just work as is.
All right. Well, last week we talked about this a little bit, but it sounds like it's been growing this past week, and that is more support for Beam, which is, of course, Microsoft's answer to Twitch, or they recently acquired Beam, which I have a channel over on Beam, and I did enjoy streaming over there. There's not quite the same big community that you have on Twitch, so it can be harder to get discovered over there, but it's going to be interesting to see how this changes the game a little bit, because now you can actually stream to Beam within the Xbox One. Now, this was already, we talked about this a little bit last week. It was in the alpha program this week, but now it's actually been opened up to more people through a Beam app on Xbox One. I do believe you still have to be in the Insider program. I don't think it is open to everybody yet. You do just have to be in that Xbox Insider program. But apparently, you know, I didn't realize this, Loki. With as little as I play Xbox One, I'm like, I'm not in the alpha circle, but I'm like, I'm in the next circle on Xbox One. I actually get
I have no idea what you're talking
about. I get a lot of this stuff. Okay, like for the preview stuff, Microsoft rolls it out in circles. Like the alphas get it first, then there's an inner circle, then there's a bigger circle, and then it's like everybody. Well, apparently I'm in one of the inner circles, and I didn't even realize this. But it's probably because I actually did some of the surveys and things in the preview program app, so maybe it gained my favor. I don't know. William Murderface is asking my Beam channel name. Same as Twitch. Rob Roberts is what it is over on Beam. Anyway, for Beam, now there's a whole little app that you can use with it if you're in the Insider program. You hit the guide button and you go to the Beam menu icon to start broadcasting. You can turn your microphone on and off. You can also do camera on and off, although I'm assuming that's only Kinect. It's still not going to support just any old camera. You can also do chat, camera position, overlay, and all that good stuff. You can also, inside the app, watch and interact with channels on Beam in real time. You can also get the Sparks and the XP. They try to incentivize watching streams by giving you XP, and then you can use these Sparks that you earn to, like, interact with streams. It's interesting. Like, I like Beam's approach. It's going to be interesting to see how this grows through 2017. They are definitely trying to do something even more interactive than what Twitch is so far. So there you go. They are going to also announce more for Beam at GDC 2017. It looks like Microsoft is really realizing that Amazon is really not competed with in the Twitch space effectively. I do know that there's Hitbox and YouTube, but YouTube kind of has its own set of problems, and YouTube gaming really hasn't picked up the way it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, YouTube has its own problems, what with the copyright claims and all that stuff. So that turns a lot of people off to YouTube to begin with. So, yeah, I think Microsoft is kind of seeing an opportunity here. So it'll be interesting. We'll see what they do with it. But you know their press conference ain't going to stream on Twitch this year. It's going to stream on Beam. Mark my words. Anyway,
I'll just watch it on YouTube.
Let's move on, Loki.
All right. So it looks like, you know, one of the things that we may be hearing about the new... during their press conference is about Scorpio. And so actually they're going to be unveiling information about the Scorpio during the press conference on June 11th, which is different than what's been in the past. It's now moving to Sunday, which I did like how Bethesda put a little thing out there, you know, oh, hey, imitating us. Okay, cool. But yeah, they're going to be doing their press conference at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So that'll be earlier that day. Like,
did you make your flights for E3 already? Ha ha! Too bad.
Yeah. So,
rebook.
That's
hey, good news. Saturday is a cheaper travel day, I believe, because Friday and Sunday are big days, but Saturday is a little less. You know, because it's right in the middle of the weekend, so you might be able to get some better deals on Saturday. There's that. You have to get another night at the hotel, but oh well.
But I mean, man, that show's going to be pretty busy.
Yeah. And by the way, thanks a lot, assholes, for doing that to us on Sunday when we're trying to do a show here at OLR. Although, actually, Microsoft should be done. Bethesda's the one that's right in the middle of our
right
show. Yeah, which I guess we'll just have to do what we've done the past few years and do, like, our abbreviated show where we just watch the press conference with y'all and do a hour-long show because we don't have any other time to do it because we get cut off by E3.
We could do what all the other like streamers do when they do like the reaction things. I don't know if anyone wants to see that.
I'm of the camp that nobody wants to see that. Like, I'm fine with taping something that like later you can do, like the YouTube reaction videos and that stuff. But I think it's a little silly. But anyway, so I don't know. I don't know what we're gonna do that episode yet. It's still months off in advance, and who knows what else is gonna change with E3. Shit. Maybe some miracle happens and I end up going, but I doubt it. With E3, on that Sunday, the press conference, the interesting thing is going to be that we can talk about Microsoft now on our show. Yeah. We just won't be able to talk about the other two.
They did it just for us.
Oh, yay. What's Nintendo going to do this year? We don't know yet. Are they going to go back to a press conference since they did one for the Switch, or are they going to do a Direct? Who knows?
No one knows. Just like no one knows what's going to happen at the launch in 2 weeks of the Switch.
All right. Well, no one knows what happened to the NES Classic Mini either. They are still pretty hard to get. I don't know. It seemed like some more came out recently.
I want to get one still, but, you know, it may be hard to find.
But an interesting rumor hit the internet this week, thanks to NeoGAF, of course, from a user who worked for a big retailer in Scandinavia, who apparently posted that we just got word from Nintendo, or rather their Nordic distributor, that the NES Classic Mini has reached its end of life and will be phased out. According to them, production has ended and we will be receiving a few more shipments before everything dries up. By our estimates, we as a single retailer might not be able to fulfill all orders that have been placed so far. Our last shipment should arrive in April or May, and after that, there won't be any more shipments, which made a lot of us kind of go, what the fuck? Why would you, like, this thing has been huge. Why would you fucking pull it off shelves now? But that is a rumor, I should stress, because there has been a follow-up. Nintendo UK followed it up saying, quote, production for the Nintendo Classic Mini NES continues, and NOE, Nintendo of Europe, will continue to ship units to retail on a regular basis. That was from a Nintendo UK representative, basically saying that first statement was full of shit. Here's what I think might be happening. We've had a lot of stories recently about how these things have been hacked to basically extract the Linux out of it and make it run emulators that you can even play Super Nintendo games on your NES Classic Mini. These things are not online, so they cannot be patched out, the exploits, through a simple firmware update. Now, I don't necessarily want to start The Sky is Falling, but I have a feeling, and I don't put it past Nintendo to do it. Nintendo might be closing up whatever exploits these guys are using right now before they're going to put more of them out. That's what I think is happening. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's no reason for Nintendo to do this. But
it could be a miscommunication. I don't think they would do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to bother doing that because most people aren't doing that.
Maybe they're not going to do it because they're just going to move it to the Nintendo Switch and they want people to buy a Nintendo Switch.
I don't see that either, though. The point? Why would you even want to do that? I mean, because the average consumer is not going to know how to do that. And the ones that do know how to do that, if you patch that up, they're just going to fucking run it on a, you know, a fucking Raspberry Pi or something.
Yeah, they'll find another way.
Who cares? It's Linux. And even still, I don't think just because it's a Linux system that's running in the first place, good luck patching that. You're not going to patch it. It's fucking Linux. That shit's going to be broken open. You're just going to waste time and effort and money patching something up that's just going to get broken immediately.
Again, I have nothing to base that on. Why would a retailer think they're not going to get any more and then suddenly they are going to get more? I mean, it could be just as simple as this guy didn't know what he was talking about. Sorry, that's so harsh, but that may be what it ends up being, a bad miscommunication or something. But I could see where Nintendo might put the brakes on for a bit to fix. That just seems like a very Nintendo thing to do. There'll be a version B of the NES Classic Mini or something that does not allow the same workaround that they're doing right now. But hackers are going to hack. They'll find another way, just like Loki said. So it's probably not worth their time. Loki, moving on.
All right. So Microsoft is promising that there's going to be more Xbox One and Windows 10 exclusive games that are going to be highlighted. Of course, they're saying, you know, Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, and Crackdown 3 are some of those. That there's also going to be some more stuff in store at E3 2017 that they're going to announce. So expect more of those really annoying Windows 10 Xbox One exclusive, which is really just any of their first party games. I mean, come on. I mean, do we really need to say it's exclusive if Microsoft's making them? I mean,
well, maybe they'll get some,
or I'm sorry, Capcom.
People.
You know, in the case of like, you know, Dead Rising,
or their scale bound. Oh wait, sorry, sore spot. Sorry,
Phantom Dust.
No. Yeah, it would maybe help for there to be more exclusives that they'd stop being canceled.
Well, that, you know, that's kind of funny though. That it just reminds me that Crackdown 3 then would be on PC, so maybe I don't need to get an Xbox One. I was planning on buying a better PC anyways, or laptop, so hey.
And how's the Scorpio thing going to change things? Because I imagine Microsoft is eyeing doing something that's really... And maybe exactly. That's why they've been sitting on Crackdown. They're going to do something that's really going to push the limits of Scorpio, yet it still runs on Xbox One and Windows 10. Because that's the deal, right?
Maybe they can do all that physics stuff that they were planning on doing through the cloud. Remember cloud, you know, yeah. All that stuff. So maybe now all the physics stuff can be done natively without having to be always online or something.
Maybe.
Maybe they can run PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1 games.
Wouldn't that be something? if Microsoft came out and said you could run PlayStation games, wouldn't the patent on PlayStation hardware be expiring soon? That'll be 2019, I think.
Blame 3.0.
All right, anyway. One more story for you guys tonight. Do you guys know the song Pac-Man Fever, that classic song from the 80s? It's in rotation here at Vogue Network, mm-hmm. but I'm sure not a lot of you sit here and listen to the music all day at Vogue. But you guys probably remember the song, right, from the 80s? Well, you know, there were a lot of parody songs written about video games back in the day, but you might wonder, like, well, where was the king of parody songs, Weird Al Yankovic, in all this? Well, it turns out Weird Al did write a song called Pac-Man. And in an interview with The Nerdist this week, he talks about how Pac-Man is now going to be coming to a new box set, like a rarity set that's coming out from Weird Al, called Squeeze Box. Now, Pac-Man...
Oh, yeah, the Squeeze Box. That's awesome.
Yeah. Pac-Man is a parody of the Beatles' Taxman. And it's not that this song was never heard before. In fact, they even have it. You can actually stream it here on Vivo. You can actually hear the whole song. I can play a little, clip of it here. So you can see it's like a parody of Taxman. Anyway, so this song, and this is from early Weird Al Yankovic, right? So this is like when he was doing Another One Rides the Bus and My Bologna. But these songs were like on the Dr. Demento show, you know, back when like he was huge on radio, and you know, it's kind of, he was an awesome, like I've heard tapes of that old show, and there's some really like awesome stuff, a lot of that parody stuff. So Pac-Man was heard on the Dr. Demento show. So it's not that this song was never out there, but because it was only ever played on the radio and not officially released on CD, you have a chance. And Dr. Demento had to stop playing it after the third or fourth time because guess what happened? The Beatles lawyers sent a cease and desist about that whole thing. So Dr. Demento had to stop playing that song. But now apparently they've worked it out. I guess the same way that you can do Beatles music on Spotify now.
It's some fair use, yeah.
Yeah, some folks have changed their tune. I don't know. So now this song is going to be available on Weird Al's box set. So very cool. As Joe and Hunter Matt points out, the squeeze box is in the shape of an accordion, I think. Well, that would be appropriate for Weird Al Yankovic, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. You can check out Weird Al's. If you want to hear the whole song, the Pac-Man parody, it's actually up on Vivo, which is just basically their YouTube now. So check that out. That is going to do it for the stories we have on deck tonight. So I think it's time to open up the Skype line. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you want to give us a call and talk about anything we've talked about tonight, or maybe something we didn't get to tonight. You know, we did talk about moments that you love in video games. You could share some of the love with us here on the Skype line if you want. Again, that's Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, while we wait for the phone to ring. Although I would always encourage, if you've never called the show before, Echo 123 is a good place to call first to make sure your Skype connection is working. Loki, while we wait for some calls, do you have any last-minute stories for us?
I was just going to mention that the Dirt Rally game, they put out their VR DLC, so you can actually check that out now. And if you don't have Dirt Rally, you can actually pick it up with the VR expansion for like $37. So I'm kind of wondering if it's any good, because I kind of looking for more games for the PlayStation VR. So, and I do like racing games, although I'm not good at them, so I'd look for more of an arcade racing game. So I'm curious to see how Dirt Rally is.
All right. We do have the phone ringing, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Taro-kun.
Hi, Taro-kun. What's up? I don't recognize the name. Are you a new caller to the show?
Yeah, I'm a new caller, long-time listener, though. I love the show.
Thank you. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Hooray. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Switch. You know, I don't like that Nintendo wants you to pay for a lot of things you might not care about, you know, in the Switch package.
How so?
Like why not have a package that's almost like a Vita, where you don't have the dock for your house? I mean, maybe even one where it's just the tablet, and it would be like, you know, $150 or something.
I see. And, so you're kind of going back to some of those early, you might remember some of the early rumors about Project NX a few months ago is what we were all calling it. One of the earliest rumors was that it was going to be a separate handheld and television system that was one ecosystem.
I'll tell you why they're not doing it. It's because that I know where you're thinking, you know, your thought process is that they're charging $90 for that dock. There's not $90 worth of hardware in that dock.
Exactly.
It's a piece of plastic.
I don't know. I'm not as bothered by that whole thing. I can understand the whole thing to make it universal. But again, it's weird to me that they won't sell it as a portable system. Like, they're not marketing it as a portable system when I think that most of its strengths are as a portable system. But that's just me.
Yeah, and they could even have cheaper versions of the Joy-Cons or something. But then they would have problems selling games like 1-2 Switch, and maybe they would, split their market.
Right.
If they don't pack it all. Like, everybody has the same system in the box.
So let me ask this question. Despite all this, frustration with what Nintendo's doing, did you pre-order a Switch? Are you going to get one?
Oh, no, I really wish. I totally would get one and would pre-order one. I'm a big Nintendo fan. I figure I would get one and just buy the good games as they come out. As it is right now, I'm going to be waiting till holiday, and they'll probably have more games, and more online features, and more full-featured console by that time.
Some comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. YYR is saying the problem with Switch without Joy-Cons is that you can't play it. But pro controllers won't play all games. The Joy-Cons are the standard controller. I do sort of get that. It's kind of like the Wii in that regard. It's like, they do want to have like the standard controller set or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of one of those things where at the end of the day, just have the games that justify it, or have the features that, gamers want to have, like, a virtual console or online virtual console, something I've been talking about for a while, which sounds like we might finally be getting with the Switch. So that part's exciting, if nothing else.
Exactly. The moment they showed the HD Rumble and all this stuff packed into the controllers, I'm like, yeah, that's impressive, but I don't think Zelda uses half of these things, or Skyrim is going to tell you how many rocks your character's holding,
Zelda will probably use all these features in one way or another. It might not be an intricate part of the game, because, again, it has to exist on Wii U as well. But Nintendo really will go out of their way to justify their Nintendo ideas. And so I think it's more of a given you're going to see this on Zelda even.
Okay.
But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Nintendo's not telling us much, but we'll know in about a week and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. I don't want to tie up your line here.
No worries. I appreciate the call. Thanks for giving us your perspective. Take care, and thanks for listening.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Have a good one.
Great evening.
Bye. All right. Thank you for the call. That was Taro-kun, if I remember right. Orange Launch Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call and say hello, maybe you're very happy about the Switch and you can't wait for it, and you wish all of us would see it from your perspective. Feel free to call in and share. Orange Launch Radio, all one word on Skype. Any other last minute stories to check in on, Loki, while we wait?
You'd mentioned, well, this is regarding that email that you kept getting about Liquid Sky. What that was?
Yeah, somebody fucking signed me up for that. What is that? Okay, yeah, I get these emails, and this has been happening to me a lot lately, where on my personal email, I'm getting signed up for things. Somebody's probably just fucking with me, but I just, you have to confirm your email address, so I just keep saying no or deleting or spam. So this is the latest one I get, and I'm like, what's this gaming thing?
It's like on live or something like that, but with PC games. So you sign up, and then you basically stream their games from their servers.
Do you have to pay money for it? Does somebody pay money and use my email? Can I borrow it?
Well, they have like ad supported, so that one's free, and you get to play 3 hours a day.
A lot.
But any unused, I guess, credits roll over, and then there's also the pay as you go, which is $4.99, and then $9.99 a month.
Yes, but can I play Zork on it like I could on GameTap?
I have no idea. But apparently you have to have a beta key in order to redeem it to play that. So
interesting.
I don't
so
know.
Somebody's. Oh my god! All right. Anyway, somebody did the same thing with a Microsoft account on my personal email this week. And my Microsoft account is actually through a secondary email that I have. So it's like somebody's trying to sign me up under my primary email. I'm like, nope. And so I went in and I deleted the account. I reset the password and deleted the account. It's like, I don't get why websites let you sign up just using an email address without having to confirm said email address. Especially something like Microsoft. Jesus Christ. Very irritating. Anyway, Orange Lounge Radio, last call, all one word on Skype, or 1-877-GAME-OLR if you want to do it the old-fashioned way. Let's see. What was the other comment here I wanted to read in chat? It was about the Weird Al thing. Somebody had said, oh, yes, Smexy Van, I hope I said that right. Smexy Van in chat said, love, love Weird Al. Certain songs are ruined for me because of his parodies, though. I can't listen to American Pie. That's true. Like, I can't listen to Happy by Pharrell Williams anymore without thinking of Tacky. Like, it's just, I see that video of Weird Al and Margaret Cho and Aisha Tyler and all them dancing. That's all I see whenever I hear that song right now. Like, Weird Al kind of does ruin songs. But did he ruin them, though? Or did he make them better? Because I would argue in the case of Foil from that same album, or even Word Crimes, he made those songs better.
Word Crimes are pretty awesome.
He made those songs better. So
it was an awesome video, too.
That's just my thought. Anyway, we do have one more call coming in over on the Skype line, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hello, this is Smexy Von.
Hi, Smexy Von. What's on your mind tonight? Wait, what is this? Like the night of new callers tonight. I like that. I'm all good with that. What's on your mind tonight? We must have
I was just reading... I was just listening and reading your comments on my Weird Al comments on the live chat.
We must have a heck of a lag thing going on right now, but that's all right. What is on your mind? You're hearing us talk about video games. What's your opinions on what we talked about tonight?
Oh, well, sorry. Is that better with the...
The volume's better, but we still have pretty horrific lag. But that's the joy of doing live radio. But we'll try to push through it.
It is pretty chaotic. Well, I'm calling from Japan. That might be
That could do it. Calling from Japan might be a bit. Say hi to Akuma JP while you're there. We'll try to get your thoughts out for us here. We'll try to deal best we can with the lag. What's on your mind in gaming this week?
Calling on your comments on Weird Al. It wasn't that I meant that the songs were ruined for me by Weird Al's parodies. It's actually really funny. Like, we were driving and American Pie came on the radio and I was just laughing my ass off.
Okay, I see. So you were calling to clarify your comments and defend Weird Al Yankovic, which I understand. Weird Al Yankovic should be defended. Look, I'm not a stupid nerd. I realize that, like, Weird Al Yankovic is kind of like one of the popes of nerds. Like, do the nerds have a pope? If they do, it's probably Weird Al Yankovic, and I know better than to sacrilege him. But I'm just saying, he does have that tendency to do to some songs that you can't hear the original anymore. All you hear is Weird Al versions. And I don't know, like, Pharrell Williams' Happy isn't a bad song. I like that song, but I still hear Tacky. Like, that's all I'm ever going to hear. But
I hear is Gump. I never hear Lump anymore.
Exactly. It seems like that. But in the case of, like, Word Crimes, I would actually argue he probably did make that song better, actually. Like, I don't even want to hear the other one. So...
With Word Crimes, there was actually a group of female law students that posted a parody of Word Crimes on YouTube, and it's gone. It was there for like a week, and it was the funniest shit ever.
Why is it?
Pardon my language, but I'm assuming the students themselves removed it because they, I think they were a group of female law students, and they, they were in suits, and they instead had, some hot boys in underwear and I wish I could remember the lyric. That it was a really good parody.
Maybe they
I liked that better than Weird Al's parody.
Maybe they were worried about their careers getting.
Yeah, that was probably it.
I can see that.
Anyway, but it's probably I'm sure it's hiding in some internet nest egg somewhere.
Once on the internet, always on the internet. That's before y'all put videos on the internet. Be careful. But I was going to say, wouldn't it be ironic if Weird Al had sued to get the parody taken down? That would be ironic. He would never do that. He would never do that. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't think so.
We actually did a fun story. One of the Dragon Cons, my pal Travis Donovan from Under Sedation Live, rest in peace, who you know helped me get my start in this whole internet broadcasting thing. Not in broadcasting in general. I did that in college. Travis thinks I owe him that too, but I gotta keep him in check a little bit. But obviously, I miss him and his show. But the reason why I bring him up is that there was one Dragon Con when that Tacky came out and that whole album. That Weird Al did, we actually did a party on the Thursday night that was called Tacky, where we all dressed up in tacky outfits, and we went around the hotels and the whole circuit at Dragon Con with that song blaring behind us. It was actually a lot of fun. Really, really ridiculous and stupid, but a lot of fun. Thankfully, nobody filmed it, though, because I don't need my mother seeing that outfit on the YouTubes. Exactly. All right. let's see. Kaijudo in chat says, this is a call from 2009 that finally caught up to 2017 because of the lag. Look, he's a long ways away and first time into the show. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, though, so we can wrap things up. But thanks for calling the show and thanks for listening. Wait for it. Okay, well, hopefully the poor guy will hear this on the other end. Thanks for calling and listening. I hung up, though, because the lag, I guess, got too bad. But hopefully you'll hear that pleasant goodbye there. We do have the phone ringing again, so let's get to this. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Rob. What's up?
Rama, we had all new callers tonight, and then you had to call in. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, if somebody wasn't busting balls about a particular snack product, who got someone that got quite excited over when I posted when I first got it, well, maybe I wouldn't have had to call in.
Yeah. Luckily, you did the right thing tonight and you bought my favor.
Mm-hmm.
And those,
terrible.
I had to put that fucking bag in the other room because I was eating them all. And I was like, there's not going to be any left for Alan when he gets home, except he'll know that I ate them because I gained 5 pounds overnight.
The stuff's made with real liqueur, so you probably gain closer to 7.
Rama, I had enough liquor last night, let me just say. I don't drink that much very often, but once every few months, look out, and last night was one of those nights. So I'm kind of...
You went to a convention?
No, that's great. It was a birthday party.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah, better yet, I went to a gay bar for a birthday party. I don't ever go out to gay bars anymore, it feels like, but I went out last night, and I drank a lot. Rama was
but
a lot.
Was it tasty, tasty booze, though?
God, yes, it was tasty, tasty.
Then I don't see what the problem is.
Me neither. All right, the hangover, that's the problem. All right, what's on your mind tonight, Rama?
Nothing, I just came to bust your balls about the Stroopwafels.
I like that we're getting these calls tonight where it's like, I just wanted to call in to defend Weird Al Yankovic, or I just wanted to call to defend the Stroopwafels, or whatever it is.
It was okay, but I think my expectations were too high.
Maybe. I don't see how there
it's
is.
It's kind of like when I hear about a Nintendo product coming out and then I actually try it, and then you just have to lower those expectations.
Here's the thing. You need to also realize this. Loki never eats the food we give him. Like, Dark Sokka can be like, I baked a delicious red velvet cake, da da da. Loki won't eat it because he's a picky eater, which is fine. I can be a picky eater, too.
I just don't like eating tons of cake.
Yeah.
See,
but
what you got it.
He ate the Stroopwafel.
No. If you want Loki to eat a cake, you gotta have a bacon weave topping.
No,
on
you don't.
The cake.
No, you don't. Seriously, like, I was always on board with like bacon, you know, on desserts and stuff. Like, you know, bacon donuts, for example.
Mm.
Honestly, bacon donuts, all they did was give me the Love Maple donuts, and I don't need the bacon. The bacon does not enhance the donut that well. There's just some things. It's just bacon with a maple donut. And yeah, that's always good because bacon is always good. But it doesn't necessarily make the donut any better. It's just it's bacon and a maple donut. And now I love maple donuts. They're like my favorite now.
I don't know, man. There's a convention I go to and there is a farmer's market right next door. And every year I go there and I buy 4 bacon maple donuts because they're not open on Sundays. And believe you me, they taste amazing with the bacon on it.
What convention's this? I want to go to a convention.
Farmer's Market and Anime Convention.
Farmer's Market and Anime Convention.
It's Zenkai Con right in Lancaster County. You go outside the hotel, next block over, Farmer's Market.
Wait a minute, Lancaster, Pennsylvania?
Yep.
Isn't that like Amish country out there?
Yes.
Oh my god. So this is Amish farmers market then.
Yes.
Oh shit. That I bet that's pretty awesome.
Yes, indeed.
You know, the Amish are known for their maple bacon donuts.
I know, right?
I mean, you see, when me and Mark, when we make the drive there, you pass like their theme park, Dutch Wonderland, as you're going there.
That's amazing. What about what was the place? Oh my god, there was a theme park, and people may not know this, but like I spent a lot of time my old job. I spent at least like 6 weeks in three different trips out in Allentown, Dorney Park. That was it.
Dorney Park, Wildwater Kingdom is still there.
It's still there. Yeah, I there was a hotel right across the street, and I've spent like six weeks of my life in that hotel, always just longingly looking at the theme park, but being stuck at work. It was usually like, I don't even think the theme park was open. Was it one of those seasonal places?
No, but are you sure it wasn't Sesame Place?
No, it was not Sesame Place. I distinctly remember this theme park because I could see it from my window.
Yeah, it was definitely Dorney Park, Wildwater Kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. That's fun. And I never went there. In all the time that I spent out there, I never went to a damn theme park. But I did. I think that was one of the trips. I went to Eight on the Break, and I think we met up out there or something.
Yeah, me and my friends, we took you to a traditional Jersey diner for food.
Yes, yes, I remember that. And I was like, you guys, when you do this to me, I'm not going to go back and have jokes to tell about New Jersey. Because I was like, you know what? New Jersey isn't so bad.
Look, everybody bags on Jersey, the landfill state, Chris Christie and all that. No matter what, Jersey has one saving face, and it's not Bruce Springsteen. It's the fact that Jersey is the biggest exporter of diners all over. No matter where you go in Jersey, you can walk two blocks, three blocks, whatever. You will find a diner. And if you don't like that one, there's another one you can go to.
And they don't have diners in California like they have back east. They really don't. Like, it's all chains. It's like Denny's, or now the new one is Big Bear, Black Bear, Big Bear. What's they're everywhere now, showing up everywhere. They're not bad. It's just they're not the same. Mel's maybe is the closest thing to like a diner, but even Mel's is kind of like, I don't know. They're all chains, Rama. It's not the same like it is back east.
Believe you me, I know. There was a really good diner not too far from my house, but it closed about a couple of years ago. So. Sad.
Yeah, sad. SJ100 Matt says, so basically what needs to happen is Rob needs to come back to New York. Well, Rama, since you're on the line, I might as well address this. So it turns out, y'all might remember, I have a friend that lives out in that area. She lived out in Connecticut, and that's one of the reasons I ended up in New York, one of my trips out there. Mm-hmm. So I just found out she's getting married this October. So guess what that means?
When in October?
13th, question mark?
God damn it, Rob.
What, is there a fucking convention then or something?
No, I'm going to Colorado for somebody's wedding.
Rama, you son of a bitch.
Hey, fuck you, man. I got an invite. I got the most awesome save-the-date card ever. It wasn't a picture of two people lovingly in each other's arms and eyes saying, come to our wedding. No, it was just written on there with nice print that said save the date with awesome decorations on it. It's going to be a freaking party. It's going to be sci-fi themed. I am going.
I haven't got wait. So that's funny. So you're going to be out here for a wedding as well?
No, Denver, but you know.
Well, westward.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm actually going through my text messages to see if I actually can find the text message that had the date in it, because you're yelling at me so much that I want to make sure I'm right on this.
I'm only yelling because I care and love you.
I know you do. Hugs and kisses. fuck, I can't find the text message now where she sent me the date. This is really important stuff to be talking about on our video game-based radio show, but you know what?
It's a special time of the show where we call real life stuff.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And getting out to New York is a very important topic.
Yes, indeed, because there is this awesome bar I want to take you to and get you drunk.
Yeah. All right, I will clarify the date. I'm going to find out. But October 13th, like getting married on Friday the 13th in October just sounds like something she'd do. So
my youngest sister got married on Halloween, so that doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I'll find out the date and let you know. But it looks like I am going to have to go out to the East Coast this year. Like finally, like I'm being forced to go out that way. So, which, you know, oh, no, I so don't want to go. Help. So,
well, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up the show, my friend. I think everybody's sick of hearing us talk about our business. But you know what? Again, you bought my favorite tonight with Stroopwafel. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take care, my friend.
You too. Stay right. Fabulous.
Yeah. You too. Bye. All right. We're going to go ahead and close up the Skype line here. If you didn't get through and you wanted to talk to us, you can always send us an email, participate@orangelaunchradio.com. SSJ100Matt says in chat, it's been like 12 years since Rob was there. I had hair back then. Yeah, you and me both, buddy. You and me both. It was a long time ago. I think my last trip out there was like 2008. So maybe not 12 years, but probably a good 10. So yeah, I got to get back out there for sure. But it's going to happen this year. I'm really going to have to go to this wedding. So I'll make it a point to visit New York City while I'm there. The big question is, will I be able to bring Alan? Because I'd really like to be able to bring Alan, but I'll have to get him on a plane for that. All right. Anyhow, that's going to wrap it up for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show this week. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or five about the show. Help us spread the word because, again, we are just a small independent podcast. We don't have a lot of big money or advertising dollars or things to spend on the show. Word of mouth really goes a long way. If you can't think of anyone to tell, you could always leave a nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Google Play Podcast, wherever you heard about this show. That word of mouth goes an awful long way. So, would really appreciate all those kind words. So anyway, we're going to go around and get everybody's final thought here in studio. Dark Sakura's final thought. She's not here. It would be just kidding. Feel better, Dark Sakura. I tease because I love. We'll try to save some Stroopwafel, I promise. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I was trying to work on programming this week. I did some programming. I was trying to, because work stuff, you know, because I mentioned gaming related, I don't, you know, really say, but we had to do a PowerPoint presentation, and PowerPoint's not that exciting. So I thought, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if I could make a game that could do a PowerPoint presentation, sort of, or you use the game as a, like an FPS PowerPoint type thing? But then I want to play Skyrim, and then, you know, unfortunately, that's what takes over. So,
of course.
But I have code on my screen that I wrote that maybe I will work on. My will is very weak.
All right.
I have no will.
My final thought is 3-day weekend. Woo! So maybe I'll be doing some live stream tomorrow. I don't know. We're supposed to get another one of those storms of the century tomorrow, though. So I just want to – can I just get in the car and drive somewhere where it won't be raining? I guess not. Anyway, we'll be back in 7 days to do it all over again. Thanks so much, you guys, for tuning into Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Appreciate it. Have a great week. Happy gaming. We'll see you in 7 days. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.